This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and worries and stuff?
Yes, probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
You know, if the BU football coach had put Paul in the fourth quarter, he might be in more than just the Baseball Hall of Fame at BU.
Well, according to our Kraft Sports Group newsletter, he's in the whole Hall of Fame.
Well, it's a sport, and it's in BU, so technically it's right.
No, technically it's very, very wrong.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred and Andy are here.
Paul's outside waiting for pizza.
Paul's waiting for pizza. Yes.
What else is new?
Oh,
Roosevelt.
Wow.
Colvin is a New England Patriot. That
yes, that's new. Rosie Colvin.
And he can still talk for a long, long time
as,
at his locker.
As reported by Mike Reese, is a New England Patriot, and the release did go out, so it's official.
It is. It's official because I saw him wearing his number 95 sweatshirt standing in front of his locker between Billy Yates and Nick Kazier.
So did you talk to him?
I was listening. I mean, they were waiting for him like he was Matt Cassel at his locker. There was just a horde waiting the whole time. I found very interesting. He a number of times said, it's not like I was waiting for this. It's not like I was waiting for somebody to call or seeking this. So he really emphasized that he was kind of comfortable just living life.
Sure.
And when somebody asked what kind of shape he's in, he said, good enough shape to get up in the morning and comb my daughter's hair. Is
oh,
basically
boy.
What he said.
That's all, yeah.
He kind of lowered expectations a little bit in talking.
Ooh, that's not good.
But he said he had a couple calls during the year, but nothing really happened.
Well, we saw him when we were in Indy. Yeah. He was at the hotel, and he looks in great shape. I mean, he's not hasn't put on any weight. If anything,
no,
he might have lost weight.
Yeah, he looks the same.
Yeah.
But my question would be, A, how much running has he done?
Right.
And he answered it a little bit. I was on the back. I could kind of hear he kind of sounded like he said he was running in his yard. So take that for whatever it is.
I hope he has a big yard.
he said he's been mowing the lawn and raking leaves.
Oh,
and,
boy.
But he also said, I lost my train of thought.
He also said about playing,
something.
About not waiting for a job. Anyway,
yeah,
Rosie
right.
Colvin's back. On
Roosevelt Colvin is back.
And there was rumors about Victor Hobson. He signed with
the
Bengals, which
right.
is kind of an odd choice if the Patriots were – maybe the Patriots actually weren't, you know, thinking of –
Well, maybe the Patriots were working out two guys and only signing one.
Yeah, that could be.
If you're unemployed and somebody offers you a job, take it.
Right. So what do you think? Do you think Colvin will make a difference here?
Why not? Well, what do you mean by make a difference?
Well, do you think he'll be out there
– I think he'll be out there this week. I think he'll be in uniform and on the field. I don't know how much he'll play.
Is this more about Pierre Woods?
I would think so.
Yeah.
They've, as Bill said, they got a little thin at the position.
Yeah.
Pierre Woods is banged up. Obviously, Adalys Thomas is still on the roster but isn't playing. I know there was one reference that apparently Burt Breer said he's heard that he's going to be ready to play in Arizona, the Arizona game. But that's still obviously a couple weeks away. They needed bodies. He knows the system.
And that's really, I mean, if you're a Patriot fan, don't think, oh, this is a master move or, you know, strategic move or anything. This is really desperation.
But it's a good fit. It's a guy that you can put in place on Wednesday
on Sunday. He's not the only outside linebacker that hasn't retired that's still a free agent that's out there in the street. But like you said, it's a good fit. He knows the system. He can come right in here and play. But
I think it was great that we were right again. When the injuries happened, we said, well, there's a couple guys they can call that know the system. And it was a couple weeks later, but they called those guys, Hobson and Colvin.
You know, so... But this is stopgap right now. This is something they have to do because they're getting very thin. Paul is back with the pizza.
Speaking of not getting very thin.
Oh, see now.
Well done, Paul. You did a fine job. We're always a big fan when you deliver food to us.
So locker room today?
Wes Welker was in the locker room. I talked to him, and I found it very interesting that somebody asked about, you know, his preparation and getting ready for Seattle, and he said he's going to prepare like any other week and get ready for a game, but it's up to the doctors. And that right there leads me to believe there's a definite question as to whether he will be able to go this Sunday.
So it's up to – so it's definitely – we're talking concussion.
Yeah, he didn't – I mean, not definitely because he didn't say anything specific, but he said it's up to the doctors. So I have my doubts right now as to whether he's going to – based on the fact that consecutive weeks,
right,
he took big hits,
right,
the second of which knocked him out of the game. They wouldn't let him come back in. I have my doubts as to whether he'll be on the field this Sunday.
Ooh, that's a big blow.
That's a huge blow, especially if you get into – we talked about maybe the only way the Seattle can win this game is to get into a shootout. If you're getting into a shootout, you certainly want to have both your receivers, not just Randy Moss.
Clark coming at all?
Did it look like I saw Clark coming at all?
I didn't
know. You just chime in with a random question?
What? I thought it was funny.
I thought it was kind of a D.I. blank blank
I
response.
Thought you were going to have Welker talking about
question.
You know, his status.
It was a stupid
week.
Question. You don't have to be a jerk with the answer, though. And I thought you were providing actually the quote about the doctor. Can you find that clip? That would be useful.
Yeah, I got it all.
So play it.
That was obviously Wes Welker.
Dan,
look.
Somebody asked if he saw Ryan Clark.
Give Dan a break, all right? He's trying his best.
But he interjected there without anyone saying anything and didn't even have what we were talking about.
Look,
the important news of the discussion.
He's learning on the job. Obviously,
he had to play it because he thought it was a dumb question.
All right.
Play the news.
Leave the kid alone.
He just yelled, I have to find
now
it.
Now he can't. All right.
He spent all that time finding the dumb question.
Anyway, so Welker is a if. He's a maybe. We don't know.
Well, we'll get a better.
Ty Warren available? Is he around?
I did not see Ty Warren. Paul, did you see Ty Warren?
You know, Paul, of all the injuries that they have right now, if Welker is added to that, I think, you know. We
that's
keep
the
saying
straw?
That's one that I don't think that they can absorb. I don't think that they can just throw somebody in there that even can pick up some of the slack.
I agree
there.
With you. I mean, to just think, okay, Jabbar Gaffney will be that guy.
No.
Well, Jabbar Gaffney's struggling to be Dante Stallworth's role that we talked about coming into the year. Now he's got to be the leading receiver on the team, a guy who catches 6 to 8 balls every single week. I mean, you're going to have to throw him 12 to 16 every single week to get him the 6 to 8 catches. I think that would be a huge loss to this offense and to Matt Castle and everything they want to do offensively.
It would be an amazing story, though, if they threw Ventrone in there in the slot. He all of a sudden had 10 catches in a game.
That would certainly sort of kind of go with our argument that Wes Welker's a nice little player if Ray Ventrone goes in and has 8 catches for 80 yards.
But I mean, Sam Aiken isn't a slot receiver, is he?
Well, said before, they're at the point where I don't care what you label yourself,
right,
you got to do what we need you to do.
No, I understand, but if you want to keep the kind of system that they have, you need a guy who can get underneath very quickly.
But nobody's as quick as Wes.
Right, right.
He's
That's
a shifty
saying.
Little quick. Maybe they should call Troy Brown. Take back that Troy Brown night.
You know, he's one guy.
It's reunion week here at Gillette
he's
Stadium.
He's one guy, Welker, that if he's not in the game, no matter what the coaches say, they have to change things up. They can't just keep
I would put
doing
Moss in that category, too, and Tom Brady.
Yeah,
but
no, he's another guy.
He is a key factor in the offense. You can replace Gaffney or your third receiver. You can replace your tight ends, your running backs.
Right.
But Welker's one of the few on the offense that are probably irreplaceable as the way they like to run it.
Paul, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
Good.
I'm
so
going to talk for a while now.
Okay.
So
I think Gaffney would play in the slot. Gaffney is a slot receiver. I think that's, you know, I agree that he's not Welker in the slot.
Right.
But, and I also agree with Andy's thing about how Gaffney's really kind of struggled.
Yeah.
Especially over the last, you know, his stats have gone up over the last month, but his drops have gone up. He's had at least one drop in every game for as far back as I can remember, going back to Indy, I think. So, it's not an ideal situation, but I'm not going to put, I'm going to have to stop short of putting the wide receiver in that category. I just think they'll find a way to get by. They'll get around it. Kevin Faulk will probably be more involved in the offense.
No, but they'll have to do something different if Welker's not. They can't just – here's what the game plan was for this position. I think they got to change things
Why?
Up. Because I don't think there's anyone on the team that can do what Welker does right now.
But why does that mean you have to change anything up? Just because you don't have anybody that can do it as effectively as Welker doesn't mean you don't have someone out of the slot that can catch
I don't think you can
six passes.
I don't think you can depend on that – type of an offense. I think you got to change things. I think you got to go more to run. You got to go more to the tight ends. You got to do something different.
You can't just do something that you don't do.
Well, you have. Well, it's not like they don't do it. It's just they don't call it as much. You know, I'm sure that they have a big tight end package in the playbook. They haven't been using it a lot. I mean, when's the last time Dave Thomas got a ball thrown to him? You know, I don't know. You know, maybe they have to do that more. You know,
I just don't think that they'll change the offense because Wes Welker's not there. I don't think they'll do that.
I think the play call.
They didn't change the offense when Tom Brady wasn't there anymore. I don't think they'll do that.
Well, that's what they said, but
I've been watching every week. I've been watching them go five wide for the last month.
Decision for the last month, but when the season first started, the decision making as far as play calling was different, and the decision making
game
was
plans
different.
Weren't.
Red zone decision making was very different.
Red zone decision making, I would say, was affected. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, things will be affected if Welker is not.
But that
in
was
the
with
game.
Tom Brady going to Matt Castle, not with Wes Welker going to Jabari.
I know. To you, he's a little nice little player. I happen to think he's more of an impact player than that on this team. All right, moving on. So Colvin's been signed.
Don't you like when he tries to start fights and he gets mad when they don't happen?
I'm not mad. I'm moving on because I realize it's not really a fight.
That's obvious.
You know, it's kind of one-sided. So Colvin's been signed. Andy can't do
he's still reeling
he's still
the reel.
Andy would love to tug.
He's trying to set that up.
He's still
just
trying.
Can't do it.
He's got a mouthful of pizza. What else is going on in the locker room?
Bill Belichick struggled today to do his Wednesday coach speak fluff job on the opponent. He kind of did what we did in the preview of the game. A lot of these Seahawks were supposed to be good and used to be good. It's just been a nightmare.
Yeah, you're not going to see any criticism come from Andy or me. In regards to Bill having a hard time generating enthusiasm when talking about the Seattle Seahawks, we spent 5.5 pages trying to tell you why this team is any good, and we failed miserably because there's just not a lot of reasons why. I mean, they allow almost 400 yards a game defensively. They're, I think, 31st against the pass, 29th or something against the run, or 26th against the run. Just miserable, miserable numbers all the way around. There's some injury problems like everybody has that have impacted the Seahawks. No doubt the quarterback missed five and a half games, and they were miserable when he was out. But, look, defensively, as far as I can tell, Andy, Patrick Kearney's the only guy that I can of note that I can even think of that's been out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm. And is he and still
that was
out?
Oh, yeah, he's out. Yeah. But he was supposed to be – that was supposed to be the strength of the team, and they're allowing 386 and change per game. That's an extraordinarily high number in the NFL.
Yeah. So no redeeming, nothing. I mean, they've been moving the ball better now that Hasselbeck. He's starting to get a little bit of that West Coast offense going.
Well, he's healthy. Branch
well,
is now
all the receivers were out early.
Carlson
understood. Yeah, I understood the offensive shortcomings early in the season with all the receivers out and with Hasselbeck out, but I don't understand defensively why they haven't been able to stop anybody. Now, maybe that was strictly as a result of being on the field too long. I don't see the games, so I can't tell you. Those are subtleties that I think you can only get from watching the game. Well, geez, you know, like the Patriots defense Sunday. You know, you look at the end of the day and, you know, the points were there. The yardage was there. 166 yards on the ground, you'd say they played terribly against the run. Well, I don't really think they were terrible defensively against the run on Sunday. Statistically, they were, but I thought that they held on for as long as they could. The offense just didn't give them any help.
Right. So
maybe that's happened a lot in Seattle this year. I don't know.
All right. Well,
but this is not a good team. It's a 2-10 team, and they should be. Statistically, they're a 2-10 team too.
So it should be a game that the Patriots pick up.
Got to get the lead early.
Right.
Don't give them any hope, and lay the hammer.
Don't
down.
Get in a shootout, especially if you don't have West Welker.
Any early weather forecasts?
Rain, I heard.
Yeah,
of course, that was Eric.
It's kind of always a staple in the Pacific Northwest.
Plus, it was Eric, and I don't always trust what he tells me.
It's a good point, too.
Oh, a quick side note.
Yes.
Because I know Chris Ferreira is a sort of an outside part of this show, but people like to hear about his idiocy at times. He walked into the office this morning, and he goes, "That's unbelievable. Plaxico Burress paid a $35 million fine, and so he's not going to go to jail?" And I was just...
What?
Pretty much what I said. No. I was watching the news at home, the CBS News. They said he's going to pay a $35 million fine and that he'll avoid all jail time and that this will all go away.
What? Where did he get
that's
that?
That's what
from?
I said again. CBS News. Then he started to say, well, I didn't actually see it. My wife said she saw it. He thought that he was paying $35 million and this was all going away. That's not correct on
any level.
It's not going to go away till next spring. Everything's been the next hearing. $35 million, I don't know where that number came from, because the money he's going to lose is, I believe, $11 million in guarantees potentially he could lose and some salary from this year. So maybe $12
million. Right.
He's amazing. He is certainly, what do they call him, a computer monkey or a butthead, whatever they call him, he is.
He's one of the best webmasters in the NFL. But yes,
he's fallen fast.
Plaxico Burress has been suspended by the Giants for
suspended
and NFI'd. So non-football injury, so they can recover some of that money.
Yes. So, well, in theory, there'll be you know, appeals and back and forths and all that.
But I don't know what leg he's standing on, Burress.
The good one, probably.
Yeah, because nothing he did was right in that situation.
No, and he brought some teammates in it with Pierce and Bradshaw and a couple other people. And as I said, the next hearing is March 31st, so the authorities have, what, 3+ months to dig up dirt, talk to people, get evidence. This might not be pretty for him. This could be the beginning of the end for him.
Wow.
You know, all of a sudden, he was on top of the world from February to he signs a contract, and then wham!
Off that contract, had an unbelievable game that opening Thursday night, played remarkably well. But if he goes to jail, his career is over. I mean, he's 31, I think, or 32.
Right.
I mean, if he goes to jail for a little while, by the time he's out, you know, who's going to be
lying? A little while might be 3.5 years.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, I said this yesterday, I think unless they find, you know, which is, I think, a strong possibility, because I think that's why he had the gun, they find he had intention to do some harm.
Right.
I don't think he's going to get 3.5 or whatever they're talking about. But if he's going to be a mid-30s wide receiver, who, by the way, hadn't played in 3 years or 4 years, if it's as long as they're saying it could be, there's no chance anybody's going to sign
him. No, he's done. He's done. Good riddance. Good riddance. All right. We did our PFW show last night, and that's available on Patriots.com if you want to watch that.
And
yes,
fans of Fred Kirsch need to tune in Friday night, Sports Tonight or Sports Late Night on Neckin. Fred Kirsch hosted a very special chat segment with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, in which Fred had a live, what do they call it, IFP or
IBF?
IBF, light heavyweight champion, something like that, in his ear.
And I think WBC.
Ran the whole segment. Well done, Fred. It's magic.
Is that what you call what I did?
Magic.
Yeah.
I was telling Mike Giardi about it today.
Considering what you do here.
He thinks he's out of a job.
I don't think he has to worry
about
that.
He thinks he's out of a job. He said, Freddie's running the whole show. Fred, I will say, was far better than either Andy or I thought he was going to be.
Well, I mean, what else? What did I have to do?
And far better than anything you've ever heard on this show right here.
Oh, you're much better doing that segment than you are coming in and out of breaks here.
Well, it's different here. I mean, there I'm doing it for someone else. Here, this is our lunchtime. The nature of this show, it's called PFW in Progress. We're here during our lunchtime and more. And it's more informal. I can be formal if I have to be.
But you did.
But that's not what this show is about.
You looked at the camera. You did everything. I was amazed.
Like I said, it's a different, you know.
I expected
protocol.
A Matthew Slater like performance, and you gave me Gerard Mayo.
Well, okay. Anyway, this is live too, so you can't, you know, you can't screw up there. They can always do it over, so there's less pressure. Really.
See, I would have thought there was way more pressure there.
There were three cameras pointed at you in a real studio
with
a newsroom.
But if I screwed up, I'd say, let's do it again.
Yeah, but for the reason that you said at the beginning, it was for someone else.
Yeah.
This is for us. I mean, let's face it, if one of us misspeaks, what's the big harm?
What's
it's just
the big
us.
Harm, except, you know, having it recorded and played over and over again to
on the internet
humiliate
endlessly.
You.
Yeah, but our listeners know us here.
I know. That's why I said this is different.
There's far less pressure here than there.
All right, but my point was, don't use what I do here as a measuring stick for what I might do in that type of situation.
Well, I was actually using your other performances there as a measuring stick.
All right.
Yeah, when you say, I don't look at the camera. I don't know what camera's on.
I don't know what camera's on.
I don't listen.
I don't button my shirt. I do the gangster lean so I can't be on camera, as Chris Collins said yesterday.
We should say that before we actually went on and he put his IFB in his ear, he had the cord going straight down in front of him, so you could see the cord.
Guys are here. Obviously, Fred Kurtz. Paul.
They're supposed to do that for you. you know, get you all ready and everything.
Not at a place like that.
Well, I'm just saying, in a real place, that's what they do. They make sure that you're looking good. They come over, they powder your nose, the whole thing.
Well done, Fred. You deserve props for that.
All right. Well, we're going to be in Seattle, so we won't be able to see it.
DVR it.
All right.
You should have your wife DVR it. It's a keeper. You need to see how well you did.
All right. What else is going on, guys? Anything before we get to emails and calls? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. A lot of excitement across the pond yesterday because of the announcement, actually Monday, of the Patriots going to London. But, you know, we're going to be making plans as the year progresses and seeing what we can do once we get over there. If, in fact, we're going. I don't know what the you know, who's going to go, who's not going to go, when they're going to go. I don't know how that works, but I assume we'll be going, but I don't know.
I assume it, too, because our job is sort of to cover the games.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, but, who knows with the economy. I heard that...
I'm more worried now than ever.
I heard that...
Now, if we're not going to cover games, then there's really no reason to have us around.
I heard that there's going to be some major announcements in the sports leagues as far as layoff.
Well, the NBA already laid off a huge chunk, a month ago, two months ago?
So, this thing ain't over.
WNBA cut a team.
They cut a team?
The
WNBA, the Houston Cyclones or something like the Comets. Yeah.
Loser.
So... Did I know that?
No, that he knew it.
Oh.
Yeah. You didn't know it. You said Cyclones.
I don't even know the names of the teams in the NBA. Forget about the WNBA.
It's true.
You know?
And the NHL, forget that.
Forget it. I know the Bruins and the Canadiens.
It's okay. More importantly, since we're talking about lower level leagues, I'm going to talk about something that's probably at a higher level than the WNBA and MLS. Paul Perillo's Everett High squad lost last night.
Ah!
And Andy Hart's Dartmouth High squad lost last night. So not only will we not have a rematch of last year's title game, neither of us will be there.
Funny thing happened on the way to that Super Bowl rematch.
Both teams choked.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You lost to BC High?
Yeah.
What was the score?
9-0.
What happened?
I told you they were going to lose.
Why?
They were all beat up.
They couldn't score a point?
I had talked to a couple of my boys, and
Football, you can't actually score a point.
they said that they were going to be hard pressed to win the Super Bowl again.
Really?
Because a lot of their guys were banged up.
Wow.
I don't know specifically who, that was a little like Fred there. Excuse me. I don't know specifically who was out and what the deal was, but I was not overly surprised by that loss.
So it's
they had defeated the same team. It's a joke. Andy's right. I mean, they beat BC High 26-0
right
in the regular season. So there's no excuse for them turning around and losing to them 9-0 after that. Andy's choke, I think, may have been a little bit bigger. They lost to a team that had three losses.
Well, the only thing I'll say is, and I don't know anything about Brockton, but they were on a 7-game winning streak. They went 0-3 to start the year and have outscored their opponents like 35-9
They started playing their big three games. Those are three.
That could be.
Those are gimmies.
That could be. But Dartmouth tried to do what they've done all year. Go down with trail early and then come back, and they came up short.
Plus, Brockton brought in some college kids.
Well, I will be honest. When I started listening, we were doing the Christmas tree, and I put it on, and you think we're bad radio. Those local high school football radio things are some of the worst things you'll ever listen to. I mean, commercials start playing while the guy's going through the starting lineup, and they're both playing at the same time. And, I mean, embarrassing. But,
and you say I'm a bad producer.
You are,
yes,
but
I do.
There are worse producers out there, I found out. they started going through the line.
Yeah, but they're 14.
Left tackle, 6'7", 300.
Oh,
and I'm going,
God.
Whoa. Brockton's got some big boys.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's they drove right down the field three times, just running the ball, pounding it, basically, and Dartmouth couldn't stop them. And Dartmouth also got stopped on their first possession.
So it's Brockton and BC High in the Division I Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yep.
And that'll be right here at Gillette Stadium.
So
if you're around on Saturday.
Great take. Come down. You get six games.
Also come down. Watch the games here at Gillette, but also.
Go to CBS Scene for lunch.
Comcast.
Presented by Raytheon.
And Channel 38. All the games will be on TV as well. So.
See, I was trying to direct them here to spend money. To buy a ticket?
No, but either way, you know, you're supporting us if you watch.
Come on down, though.
No, it's going to be great.
And you get, I think, $3 off admission to the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
A ticket.
Well, that's
great. The Hall of Patriot Place.
So should be a big weekend for Brian Morey too.
Do you have any speaking engagements lined up for that?
He might.
Will be a big weekend because that New England football, which ties into obviously high school football. It's there'll be a lot of parents stopping by.
The winners of these games will have their jerseys in the Hall of Fame for 2009.
Yeah.
So,
won't be Dartmouth and Everett.
Let me ask you a question. I know we need to get the Patriots in the emails, but let me just ask you this question before we get off this subject. I had an idea. Okay.
Is this the Walmart one?
Now in the Patriots Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Patriot Place, there is a New England football exhibit.
Presented by Raytheon.
And on the wall currently are all the current high school and Pop Warner champions in New England. And they're going to be displayed every year. We'll change them with the new ones in addition to other stuff about New England. But I had an idea that after each one of these Super Bowl games, okay, the team comes right off the field in their uniform, marks right into the hall, and we put their jersey up right there and then, take pictures of it.
It's a good photo op. It's a good PR thing.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's dramatic. And it becomes a tradition. You know, you're done with your game. You march right in there and you put your jersey up. And everyone cheers.
And some of them you'd get to, like, rip down the Everett one. If, you know, say Dartmouth and Everett have played again and Dartmouth wins. You get to rip down the Everett and put a
– yeah.
I like it.
That would never happen.
It's a Vince McMahon production, but
– well, but that's all it is. I think that would be cool.
I think it would be good in terms of photo op and publicizing
that's
the
all
event.
It is.
And, yes,
they
I
don't want to do that.
Why not? It would – by the way –
too much of a bother.
It would be a logistical nightmare.
Why?
Because you'd have six different teams in cleats marching through your museum.
One at a time.
I know, but there's still six of them going through. And
hey, it can't be any worse than when
and
they
are
on
all
game
hyped
day
up.
With all the beer and
well, have you ever seen Everett High
day,
football players?
I thought it's not open on game day.
No, but they rent it out to, you know, functions.
You'd have kids smashing cases. You know, they're all hyped up, all those juiced up Everett kids.
They wouldn't
smash their heads
anything.
I don't know
cases.
Why you're talking like that. Your team lost to a bad team. I don't know why you're really.
Your team lost to a bad team, too.
You're lashing out. I don't understand it.
We're both losers.
BC High only had one loss, but that was to Everett.
What if it's just the coach and the captains walk up? You know, whatever.
That's probably a more plausible
idea. But the idea is do something dramatic after the game and start a tradition.
I like it.
You know?
I like it.
So I'm going to
keep it. Is it feasible? Like, I've never seen the wall and whatever.
Yeah, of course it is.
That's my only concern was the feasibility.
Of course it is. We can get the shirt down. You have somebody ready there.
Is it behind glass? Or, I mean,
no.
Is it?
It's behind a mesh that – it press a button and it rolls up. You know, it's a big map of
does
New
it
England.
Really roll up or do you
does it go halfway up and then start clicking?
Oh, okay. All right.
Or is it just supposed to roll
you
up?
You know, why don't you fatheads go over there and check it out instead of criticizing something you've never seen?
I told you in January.
You know, there
I am
are people
going.
That have to pay to get in and were there on day one. All you have to do is flash your badge and you're too lazy to go
is
over.
Is that
there.
Right?
I didn't
right.
think that was true because initially
that was
we
true.
Were told we had to pay.
Yeah, I didn't think
not.
That was true.
Well, I go by what I'm told.
I mean, if you're going with your family, yeah. But if you're just going, if you left here and went there, you just flash your badge and walk in.
Well, I will do that the first
when
week
the season's
of
over. I'll go over and check that out. I also plan on checking out the rest of Patriot Place when the season's open. We have some time to walk around.
Unfortunately, that's after Christmas.
We should do a show from there.
Well, I don't care. I'm not going to buy it
from the hall.
Weren't we going to do that?
Oh yeah. Well, we were going to do the PFW show. From
yeah,
there.
And then
things happen. All right. No. All right. So webradiopatriots.com. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do your emails.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering. Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. Inside the Hall is one of the newest additions to Patriots.com radio, featuring Patriots and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and former PFW writer Brian Morey. But wouldn't two Hall of Famers be better than one? I mean, why isn't Hall of Famer Paul Perillo co-hosting?
Dan's going to try to get Paul Perillo on the phone today from PFW.
Oh, that'd be nice.
He too is a Hall of Famer.
I know he is.
So, being inducted into the Boston University Baseball Hall of Fame.
I congratulated him and everything, and I tried to get him ready for the experience, because it's a wonderful experience. I told him no matter what Hall of Fame you get in, it's a special honor, and to be recognized in that fashion says a lot about who you are as a athlete, a competitor, and a person.
So maybe we'll get him on the horn after and have him talk.
I think they went to go to their television show.
Oh, they did?
Oh, okay.
He's such a media whore.
And now, back to PFW in Progress, featuring Hall of Famer Paul Perillo. Unless he's on the big show or shooting something for Patriots Today.
Why was Brian Morey all hoarse in that?
Probably just talking too much.
Yeah, right? Yes. That's a long hour, isn't it?
Oh.
I'm just happy that he actually did the show. What was that, the first one in 6 weeks?
See, it's about the Hall of Fame and the museum. But they should be talking to, you know, sports memorabilia collectors to get, you know, prices of what's out there.
Did you tell them?
Yeah, I told them. I gave them all that info.
And?
I don't know. They got to work with you, Dan, and making it more of a...
How about some of the players and
events
that are involved with the Hall?
Right.
And getting Tip to, you know, talk to some of the guys,
yeah,
and there'll be those stories.
There's a lot to talk about. Oh, you're back for more?
You know, yeah. Speaking of
leave one
past
of those
players, Andy...
Yes.
One that we were just talking together about
Roosevelt Colvin
last week, former Patriot Tom Ashworth.
You found him?
Yes, he was here.
He was in town for Joe Andruzzi's event.
And Donna, who runs the knee pack, was raving about him. How nice. Oh, I said.
Because he's the nicest man on the planet.
Said, one of the best guys ever. And she was hoping to actually see him again. And I said, make sure that you say that Andy and Paul said hello. He was definitely. I said he really liked Andy. He used to talk to Andy all the time.
My favorite guy of all time.
Used to make fun of Andy about his unfortunate teaching career.
So where is he's just done?
You know who's another guy that's moving back?
But he's in the alumni association.
Yeah, he's going to do more with us. And another guy that's moving back into town, not from here, but moving to Boston to go back to school is Matt Chatham.
Donna was talking about him, too.
He's out of the league, too.
Yeah, he hasn't played this year.
Well,
not sure if he's ready yet.
Ashworth's trying to hang on. He hasn't retired yet. He's got like 3 games to get 10 years. So he's,
Chatham.
Is it Chatham or Ashworth?
Probably Ashworth.
Yeah, Ashworth. So he's hoping, you know, against hope to...
He needs, what, 10 years?
No, he needs 3 more games to get his 10-year pension. or whatever they call it, eligibility.
Because
if you're in the league for 10 years, you get a bigger check than...
Right, it's four you need to get anything, or three?
I think it's 4 years of...
And then it goes up from there.
Yeah, yeah. But once you get 10 years, then you get full benefits.
I didn't realize that. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Why not?
10 years as opposed to 9?
Well, you got to cut it off somewhere.
But
it's like
yeah,
the 8-minute average.
Then you
are
say
you doing it for 8 out of 7.
That's what I thought they did with the 4 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's a certain amount. I guess
don't most players not make it to 10 years?
Most players don't make it to 4, believe it or not.
Yeah, which is why I think that 4 is a rational cutoff date.
Well, now you've
sort of separated the guys you just kind of kicked around the league like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry from guys
no
that
offense,
had legitimate Tom. NFL careers.
Well, I mean,
and to me, if you played more than 4 years, that's a legitimate career.
Yeah, I mean, some accountant somewhere, you know, did the math and said, okay, if we give full benefits of 4, it's going to cost us X. If we, you know, and they
which
figured
is why
out,
there's always lawsuits back and forth between retired players and the PA,
right?
Because it's probably about 10% of past players that are actually getting full benefits now.
It's probably not even that high.
I can't imagine a very high percentage played 10 years.
No.
Which is why it's probably a good benefit, and he's working. So I hope he gets it.
Well,
if I owned a team, I'd sign him.
Okay. Well, anyway.
So he's got that going for him.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and why don't we get to them? Any other news before I do?
I mean, other news other than the stuff that we've been talking about for the
he
last
said
10
Bill,
minutes?
Bill had a hard time praising
He didn't say he had a hard time. We just,
he
interpreting
had,
it.
Yeah.
He had a lot of, he said he had a lot of respect, and he said, you know, Holmgren and Jim, and then just sort of was naming people, the fact that, yes, indeed, they have coaches, they have players, but, you know, it's just not there. There's just nothing there.
No.
It's what we realized, like Paul said, when we did the preview. When I went to get must stops, and I couldn't figure out who to, we use Matt Hasselbeck because he was a Pro Bowler last year, but he's had a terrible year. Everybody's had a terrible year.
Okay.
It's been a nightmare, Paul, don't you think?
Sure.
Well, we could use a good ass whooping on our end, you know, so that we...
I think you got one on your end the second half last week.
No, I mean, we need to give one out.
Okay.
I didn't know what you were talking
about.
That would
be nice.
Like, what?
No, I don't want to.
What have you done with my Fred?
I don't want to get one. I want to give one. Where is Eric, by the way?
Upstairs.
He's upstairs? What's he doing?
How did I don't want to get one, I want to give one
I assume,
lead you to say, where is Eric?
We're talking about ass whoopings.
Yeah, I assume he's at practice.
Yes, I'm sure he's at practice. Or
so we'll get an update when he gets in here.
Yes, that's how it works.
Yeah, well, yeah, in theory.
And he'll say, they're in their uppers.
All right, let's see. Paul writes in, and it's about British food. He says, since today is Wednesday, hi guys and Eric. Well, he's not here. Andy, since you asked, a typical British lunch is fish and chips, or in Eric's case, sausage and chips.
Fish and chips like we eat here?
Yeah.
Fried fish
but,
and...
But the chips aren't necessarily French fries. They're something different.
They're London fries.
Yeah, the chips are something...
I like potatoes and I like fish.
Okay. Let's see. Since the T-shirt sold so well the first time, we should do some PFW on tour T-shirts. We can go clubbing in the good clubs of London and let Eric enjoy whatever he wants. and, Fred, I still believe in the Patriots. People on a non-Patriot wanted to send me to a psychiatrist when I had done a blog on Castle being Super Bowl 43 MVP after Brady went down. Hell, I'll probably be wrong, but I was close. Really? Anyway, if there was one thing we want to see from the team this Sunday, what would it be? I think that we need to see third down conversions in the long drives that we saw earlier in the season, which was the longest drive in Pat's history. It would also help if we can stop them going 15 yards on every pass as well.
That's what I would say.
We can still win out. The Cardinals are looking more average as every week passes, and hopefully they will rest Warner, as they should be assured of no bye. That would mean Leinart against Castle. It's written in the stars. That would be something, huh?
I don't think
if they
happen.
Started Leinart against Castle?
I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
P.S. using
barring an injury to Kurt Warner next week, or 2 weeks.
P.S.
Which, as we know,
could happen.
Patriots history is very plausible.
Using Eric's expertise, what the hell was Randy Moss wearing on Sunday? I saw him on NFL Game Day, and he looked like he had stolen a polar bear.
Yeah, it was like a fur coat or whatever.
He looked ridiculous.
He has his own fashion sense.
Yeah, but most of the time I think he looks good. I mean, he wears outlandish clothes but looks good in them. I don't think he looked good Sunday.
Especially, I mean, I don't know. I have a fur coat, but when it's pouring out, do you wear a fur coat?
Yeah, that's not good.
Aren't you going to get wet and then smell like wet fur?
You're
not
supposed to get those things wet.
So not a good decision there in terms of.
I have a good story about fur coats.
You told us.
Oh, I did? Oh, okay. Let's see. Jonas writes in.
By the way, we didn't answer his question. What do you want to see?
You said that you want to see stopping the long
pass. Because I've seen them drive. I've seen them do that over the course of the year. I saw them do that at times against Pittsburgh. But the one thing we haven't – I mean, I think we all think that this pass offense of Seattle could make some plays and move the ball a little. So if they can start to build something in terms of actually stopping a pass, that would be a positive moving forward towards Kurt Warner.
Did we mention that Jason Webster?
IR.
On IR?
We did not mention that.
He's been put on IR.
And Angelo Craig has been signed to the practice squad. And I liked him. I went back and used the PFW draft prospect database on Patriots.com. And he's a big boy. We thought he'd be a decent fit for a scheme like this. So he is. Okay. Seventh round pick, I believe, with Cincinnati. And now he's here.
All right.
What college?
Oh, no. He went to Cincinnati.
Oh.
Seventh round pick out of Cincinnati, not by.
Jordan wants to know, or maybe Jonas wants to know, is it true that Lamont Jordan is questionable with narcolepsy?
Now that is possible.
He was sleeping again today.
Was he?
Yeah.
And Fred, I want to bring up something Paul and I discussed in the tunnel on the way down here. He hasn't fit in.
No?
I've never seen him speak with somebody.
Really?
Like, he's sleeping on the floor. He goes to the training room. I mean, I think he does what he's supposed to do in terms of that.
Really?
But I don't know that I've ever seen him, like, sit down and talk with anyone.
Hmm. You mean his teammates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, Kevin Faulk talks to everybody. He's right next to him. Sammy Morris, you know. As much as we've been amazed by guys chatting.
Maybe noontime is his nap time or whatever it is, 11.
Today was funny, too. I mean, usually he's just kind of like laying there and he has like a sweat jacket over him and he has his legs sometimes up on the chair. I happened to look over today and it was almost like everybody around him was kind of bothering him and he kind of turned over as if to say, I got to get a more comfortable spot.
And like,
he like
pulled
turned
the hood
over
tighter.
And pulled the hood tighter over his
don't
head.
You usually
why is everybody
that in the
talking?
Room? If you're going to take a nap,
don't you usually do that between the hours of like 10 at night and 6
in
the morning?
Well, yeah, but you know, maybe he's one of those guys that likes his power nap in the midday.
It was
I think he doesn't fit in.
It's been a strange
that hasn't fit in on the field, hasn't fit in the locker room, doesn't fit in.
It's very strange.
I thought it was a good signing. I still think it was a good signing. It just hasn't worked. Hasn't paid much.
He hasn't had a good game since the Jets game. Really?
So he played in
one. The first
one.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't play in the second yet. I mean,
played a little in San Francisco.
I can't even remember Lamont Jordan. Yeah, I got no memory
of it. The last I remember is him pounding the rock in the second half of the Jets. That was week two, what Fred just mentioned. That's the last week.
And I was excited.
He only had
anybody.
Like a carry or two against San Francisco.
I thought he could be an addition to this offense that would be beneficial.
Yeah.
Well, especially in light of the fact that you ended up losing Maroney and Morris for bits of time. It looked like it was a stroke of genius.
Right.
Freddie, what do you think about the Reebok outlet or clearance area over in, was it Avon or something, selling Lawrence Maroney's jerseys with former Patriots?
What do you
highly
mean,
marked
former?
Down, like they had, like
oh, as a
who left
deal?
Last year? No. Just like they have racks of them in an area where
they're
all like $10.
Oh wow!
And it includes, well, let's say Lawyer Malloy. I don't know who exactly they are. Chad Jackson and Lawrence Maroney's in that group.
Hmm.
He's still on the team.
Yeah,
he's not a former Patriot yet. What do you think about?
Well,
that?
They have a lot of them, and they need to get rid of them. That's.
I think they had the Andy Hart approach, and were banking on this being a big year. They had those commercials.
Yeah, Maroney was a big Reebok.
He's one
guy.
Of their guys, and I think they probably
Watson was another one.
Over.
That's why Nike's doing much better than Reebok these days.
Well, Nike's doing better than Reebok because their product is better.
Shh.
Sorry.
Greg from San Diego writes in, I think it's warranted to reach out to all that emailed suggesting the Patriots should trade Brady and keep Castle. What do they have to say now? Over the past three games, yes, Castle has two 400-yard games, but does anyone want to keep him over Brady? The Pats are 1-2 over that stretch. I don't believe Castle played that poorly against Pittsburgh, but bottom line, they lost. I would like everyone who makes idiotic suggestions to look at it from a week later perspective and see how knee-jerk and stupid their recommendation was. I was disappointed that you guys validated those comments by discussing it last week, but I guess you have to fill 2 hours somehow.
Plus, it's fun.
Plus, Greg says that, Dan, when you use your microphone, you need to turn down the volume.
That argument is the type of thing that sports talk radio is built on.
Well, they had a stupid one today, all about
and yesterday
Ryan Clark's hit
and the day before.
That's three days.
They're 3 days, 12 hours. They've spent
when they're not talking about.
That's why, like when you were,
you know, the captain of the Red Sox. They have.
But
to
you were kid. You were.
The captain of the Red Sox.
But you were teasing me yesterday for being so into that, and why was I so annoyed by it? But that's why is they've been talking about it nonstop.
Yeah.
And you found out today when you started listening. That's 3 days of that.
Wow,
it's embarrassing. It is totally embarrassing.
Wow.
I mean, people need to do what I've done.
I mean, we summed
Christmas
it up.
Music, baby.
It was a legal hit. There was nothing illegal. It was just...
It was late.
It was just late. It was unnecessary. That's it.
He deserved to be penalized. He's going to deserve the fine that he gets, and that's that.
Yeah.
He's going to get fined for it.
And the...
if he hasn't already.
I forgot again.
You know, so it's not that big a deal, really.
The Castle Brady thing, while we all agree that it was silly to suggest that they should trade Brady and keep Castle, if you thought that after the 2 400-yard games, right? Let's just say that you were one of those people that were in that school. Well, why would one bad game by Castle say, okay, I was wrong? I mean, people that think that Brady lost it and doesn't really want to play football anymore based on his comments about football not being that important and his traipsing all over the globe with Giselle.
Right.
Why would that have changed last week? Because Castle didn't play well against Pittsburgh.
And I think there were some people that wanted to, you know, keep Castle over Brady. I think the majority of the conversation was how do we get value out of Castle rather than just let him become a free agent and not get anything for him.
That is
that
the
was
majority.
The majority of the conversation. You know, do you franchise him? What do you do with him?
And that's still a topic that's up
for
debate.
Sure it is. He has created value for himself. He is more valuable than he was in September. And now, what do you do with that? You know?
Yeah. Has anyone, like, all these national writers that call New England home, Burt Breer, Tom Curran, even through Borges, and has anyone utilized their contacts to, like, reach out and try to find a true gauge of the value for Matt Castle?
Well, no one's gonna say that even off the record, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's a lot of people that say
now,
a lot of
now you're like negotiating this. Against yourself.
No, not negotiating, but what has been built up.
I would think you would be able to get a guy like Charlie Casserly who doesn't have a job.
Okay.
And some people off the record, I think.
Well, I'm not sure. I kind of
Phil Savage would
do
anything.
Well, no, I don't think that you...
He's a GM.
You don't discuss that.
I think some of them would. Some of them would.
You never name a price first. Ever.
But I do
but not
think
even
guys
name
that
a
are
price.
Out of a job,
what about just... He's proven he could be a starting quarterback in this league. Like, quotes like that. Any, just
well,
the opinion.
Do you really need an outside opinion to tell you that? I mean,
well, there's
looking
a,
at
there's
some
a
of the
school
quarterbacks
of thought
in this
that
league?
He inherited the best offense in league history.
Right.
There's a school of thought that Matt Gutierrez could be doing the same thing.
Yeah, but that system didn't throw the pass. You know, he's still...
Fred, you don't think there are going to be people out there that are going to say,
oh,
if I'm Detroit, why do I want this guy? He's not going to be able to do that for me.
What, avoid pressure and complete passes?
Just give me a yes or no answer. If Matt Castle is the quarterback of Detroit, are his numbers as good as they are?
No.
But that's all I'm saying. There's a school of thought, as Andy said, out there that thinks that he's doing this in a very good offense.
Right. Well,
but I'd like to know if that school of thought is included in the 32 GMs.
But I'm not sure
GMs
if you put Tom Brady with Detroit, his numbers would be as good as
right. And that might be a quote. That's what I'm looking for. Somebody that has more contacts than I do as a local writer, I would like them to branch out. And give me that story.
You can call people.
Yeah, but they don't call me back. That's the problem. I want somebody who they might call back. Ron Borges, for example, is a guy that has those connections. Next time I see him, I'm going to give him a story idea.
Steve in Pennsylvania, once Brady went down, I said no Super Bowl this year, and anything we get out of this year will be a bonus. But the Pats have lost all those AFC games, and it will come down to tiebreakers where we will lose out. So
I agree.
That's Steve in Pennsylvania. Who's obviously a Pittsburgh fan, pretending that he's
who
a
Fred
Patriots
hates
fan.
Now because he doesn't have blind hope going forward.
I don't have blind hope, but I still have hope.
That's
Fred,
what you
can
said
we
yesterday?
Can we pass along the discussion you and I had in your car on the way back from the TV show? The Wes Welker.
Oh, that one.
Oh my God!
He admitted if Welker's out, he's pretty much the towel. Throw it in.
I just don't get that. I really don't. Oh, and I don't want to get in an argument with you.
Well,
I just
a nice
don't
little
understand.
Player. Reel him in, Fred. Reel him in. He's you got him. The hook is just
I think
it's got nothing to do with the player. I think that we've proven after all of this time that there is no player except for Brady.
No.
That's the only guy.
No,
but it's the combination
of
everything.
If Welker was the only guy, I would say you're absolutely right. But
you already removed Brady. Now you're removing
everything,
Welker.
Compounding everything. And if Welker goes out, I'm saying I you know.
Basically, my opinion of it is
34 Sunday against Seattle with or without Wes Welker.
Wow, I don't think so. But my opinion of it is this whole greatest offense in league history was three players. It was Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Tom Brady working in conjunction together. And if you remove two of them, you got nothing left.
Yeah. I mean, Welker out doesn't make Moss as good, doesn't make the running game, you know.
Doesn't make Castle as
good. It's a trickle-down theory.
Because that's why I kind of poo-poo that whole, I know it was the best offense in league history, but when I look at it, you had the quarterback, Brady, so you flip-flop those two, and you had two good receivers. Admittedly, Moss had a great year, an otherworldly year, but you tell me you can't recreate that in, for example, Arizona, where you have Fitzgerald and Bolden. Two very good receivers. You put Castle with them. You might argue they have a better other stuff. Like, this greatest offense in league history, to me, is overrated. The running back stunk. The tight end stunk.
Not to me, it's not.
I think it's...
Wow, the numbers that they put up, come on.
Yeah, they put up great numbers. Those can't be overrated because they're the facts.
Well, that's what offense is.
But Fred, when you talk about putting Castle with other parts of an offense, I think the running backs and tight ends stink here. I don't think he gets any bet. Well, Kevin Falk is good, but...
Kevin Falk is having an unbelievable season.
He is, but so do other players.
Like who?
There's plenty of players that do what Kevin Falk does at different times.
See, I think they would lose a lot more offensively today losing Kevin Falk than Wes Welker.
I'm not sure about that.
He might be right there.
He makes a lot of plays. I'm not going to say
you got to look at the blocking, you know, that kind of stuff. You know,
I certainly don't see any effect on Randy Moss from Welker. Now, I think you could make an argument the other way, that if you took Moss away and you had Gaffney out there who you could constantly cover. I mean, when Miami decided to single cover Randy Moss, they single covered everybody else, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they doubled Welker to take him out of the game. He was singled all over the field, too.
But if you're going to choose between a guy deep in Moss and Welker underneath, you go to Moss, which he did, which Castle did, and it worked.
My point is he didn't benefit from Welker. They single covered both of them.
Okay.
You can't no cover him. You can't put nobody on him.
Right.
But he benefits from having Welker on the field more than he would Jabbar Gaffney.
All right.
Wow. He really thinks absolutely nothing of
he thinks
he's a dime a dozen.
He's going down with it. That's okay.
Replaceable.
Mike Fury.
He's going down with it.
Wow.
Dane Looker.
Oh, come on. Dane Looker.
I think if Dane Looker was on the Patriots, he would catch 100 passes.
Oh, come on.
Mike Fury wasn't on the Patriots and caught 100 passes.
Oh, come on.
I think those guys are very interchangeable. Yes, I do. Troy Brown.
Paul is a superstar elitist. You know, you have to be a certain type to be a superstar.
But I generally feel the same way. That's why I loved Bo Jackson, for example. But
right.
When I see Wes Welker back-to-back years be an impact
player,
you
got to give it to
right.
him.
Right.
What is the difference between what he's done and what Mike Fury did in Detroit?
First of all, all I saw was a number for Mike Fury.
That's all I saw with Welker. He's got one touchdown. Averages 10 yards a catch.
And he keeps drives alive for him. He moves the
that's
chains.
What Mike Fury does.
But see, I don't know. I'm not an expert on Mike Fury. I've watched Wes Welker.
I just
think
there are possession receivers. There's a lot of them out there.
But possession receiver... To me, Wes Welker's more than that because he's quick.
Okay.
I think of a possession receiver as a slow guy who
finds
his own
possession receiver.
Right.
You know?
Bingo.
And comparing those two, to me, is ridiculous because they're totally different.
Totally different.
You can label
types
them
of
the same you
right,
want.
Right.
But the quickness
My point
versus
is that
the
you
side,
can get one
slow cuts, I just don't think Wes Welker's that replaceable.
Matt from Connecticut's on the phone. Matt, how you doing?
You know what I think is ridiculous? Andy Hart is ridiculous.
Wow.
Underrated last year. I mean, overrated. Are you kidding me? Like we
not the offense, not the production. I'm talking about the players. Saying that the actual players are irreplaceable.
Who said that?
Well, you guys say that Wes Welker's irreplaceable. So which one is it?
Yeah,
well,
which one?
But my question is: irreplaceable with Jabbar Gaffney or irreplaceable with Bolden and Fitzgerald? A lot of teams can put together two good receivers, and if Matt Castle goes to one of those, I think he can produce. If he goes to Jabbar Gaffney and some other jag, then I don't think he'll produce. I do think it's related to the receivers, but I think you can put together duos that are comparable to Welker and Moss.
I just don't agree with the argument that, like, our offense wasn't good last year because the running backs weren't good. We didn't really need running backs when we were scoring every other possession.
I didn't say it wasn't good because the running back weren't good. What I said was the running backs did very little to contribute to that offense.
Yeah, but you're splitting
hair.
You're splitting hair, Andy. You're saying the players were overrated, but the production wasn't.
No, I'm not. I think, if anything, Moss, Welker...
It's actually a Fred argument.
I think, if anything, Moss, Welker, and Brady are underrated. It was a three-man show.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And I think you can recreate three-man shows elsewhere.
Well, then
not
why...
Not like that show last year. Not like that show.
See, I disagree with
you've
that.
You've never seen it before.
Right.
But yeah,
you've never
and you know what? We're going to see it again.
And
it,
but it's
it's going to get broken. The record will get broken someday.
I don't know.
All records get broken.
Come on. The
someday, but not
broken.
Right away.
Just like no one was going to go 16-0 until you get everybody started getting worried that the Titans were 11-0.
But these things don't happen
that,
every year.
But
it's going to be broken.
Eventually every record gets broken.
Thank you.
But it won't be that long before the points scored. It would be like 10 years, like
right.
It happened every other time.
That's the trend of the league. That's the game.
Someone will break the point score. Now, you know, the 50 touchdowns and 23 touchdowns.
That's what I'm talking about.
The 50 touchdowns will probably get broken
right.
Within the next 5 years.
Yes.
The 23 touchdowns, I think, will stand for a long time.
I would probably agree with that.
The 50 touch. I mean, Manning just did 49 3 years ago.
Right. And he's pretty good.
So someone else will come along that's pretty good and break that in about
right.
5 years.
You know. Or it could be Manning or Brady again. Who knows?
Yeah, they could. I mean, I wouldn't bet against either one of those guys doing it again.
Anything else, Matt, other than
Matt, I like your call, though.
Which
I like
we all agree with.
You brought nothing to the table,
no,
Matt.
No,
absolutely
I like
nothing.
What you brought, Matt. You call anytime. You're welcome here.
Okay, I actually didn't get to say what I called for.
Oh, well,
what
well,
did you call for? You're still on the line.
All right. I know you guys said yesterday if Miami wins out, they win the division.
Yes.
What tiebreaker is that because? Like, what tiebreaker do they have?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because they would all have the same division record.
Yeah, I think that it would go to conference record because...
they do have the advantage in conference record.
Because I think the common opponents wouldn't come into play because it's three different teams and not two, and they don't all have the same common opponents. So I'm not positive on that, but I remember reading something about that, and I think it goes to conference from there.
Maybe Dan could look that up.
Okay.
But I don't think that one's going to happen anyway, because I think the Jets will beat Miami in the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Well, I think it could happen because, like, all three of the team schedules the rest of the way, Miami, New England, and
Miami
has to play the Jets at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, that's really the only game that I could see Miami losing the rest of the way. And if they win that game, it would be a three-way tie if everybody wins out.
Well,
so I could see it happening.
Yeah, but everybody can't win out. Because the Jets automatically wouldn't win out.
But,
right.
We need
but the Jets don't have to win out. That would be a three-way
right.
tie if
that
they lose to Miami.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. It would make the tie. Yep.
After division, it's common games and then games played within the conference.
Thanks.
Okay.
But then
we want to know why Miami wins the tiebreaker with a three-way tie.
I think it was an article.
Look at the look he gets me.
I think it was an article either in the Globe or the Herald.
The Herald
yesterday
had it. Who knows? It may have been wrong. It was the Herald, after all.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure it's conference, because that's the only thing that they have an advantage over everybody else.
Okay.
But just one more thing. I actually have to throw some shout-outs, because I was looking at the other team schedules. I was going to their team sites, and I know he gets some kind of poo-pooed on this show, but I think our site is probably the best of all the team sites, just looking around at a couple of them.
Thank you.
I would agree.
That has nothing to do with Chris Ferreira. That's why I agree with you.
Oh,
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
I'm trying to be nice.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
But there's one more thing. I was actually listening
to... How long
are
we going? Oh, no! Oh, it's Christmas. Come on.
It's Christmas.
He was a big baby.
He came out blazing.
Oh,
shut up. Just because he yelled
Andy's
at you.
An idiot. And then he goes, I actually didn't get to make my point. Can I make my point
now?
Oh,
boy.
Wow, is he sensitive, isn't he?
Fred. I need a new feud. The Irish people, they all passed out and they stopped emailing.
And they've embraced you for some reason.
I need a new feud now, so I'm going.
Can
anybody
hit walk in a day in our
You're
shoes?
You're like the national mascot of Ireland.
What is it, walk a mile in my shoes or whatever? Is that the saying? Can you imagine him being with us, dealing with the criticism we get?
Unbelievable.
One guy called up and yelled at me. Oh.
Well, he got defensive because I happened to say his Patriots weren't the greatest ever. No one's ever going to score.
But you did call the greatest offense ever overrated.
But
see, not the production.
You guys are missing my point.
I know, and it's a ridiculous point.
Well, I think
no,
the
it
running,
isn't, actually.
I think
it
the
was
running
three
backs,
men that did it.
The running
three
backs last
men.
Year
well,
I did.
All right. You look at any great offense in the past, you can probably single it down to one guy,
yeah, what do you
if
think
not
it's,
three.
What do you think it's 11 great players?
I know. I
mean,
Warner, Bruce, Holt, Falk.
Yeah?
That's four.
Okay, so that's four.
That's one more than you had. You said it's always boiling down to three
guys.
You
know what I'm saying when you get to that type of production.
But I would say, this, let's look at Dallas. They're not anywhere near as productive. But Bert Breer, a national writer, was arguing they were better because of the personnel.
Okay, when Dallas had their big run in the 90s, it was the three guys. It was Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin. That's what they all said.
Jay Novacek was a pretty good tight end.
I know, but
I'm gonna play my Wes Welker card here. Jay Novacek.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Jag tight ends on this team don't
a
produce.
Jags.
But they don't even produce. A Jag, to me, produces, and you go, he's
no,
not really
but
that
but the
good.
Tight end produced what Alvin Harper did.
And I'll tell you something.
I think
the
Jay
way
Novacek
they, the
produced
way,
more than anybody
and the way
on this
they
team.
Use Jay Novacek
yes, because
on that
they
team?
Used the tight end like Wes Welker.
No,
he
like,
caught all
like,
the passes.
Like Kevin Falk.
But they had production for more weapons. It would be harder for a team to replicate four superstars or four highly productive players than three or than two.
Well, I
because
just,
in my mind, if you sign Matt Cassel and the greatest offense on earth is your fear, you have to have two good receivers. That's what you need to give him what he had to work with in New England.
Okay.
Anything
and
else
an
is
offensive
gravy.
Line that's going to protect him.
Yeah.
And I know that
and an offensive line that's good but not great.
And I know the running game is not great around here, but I do think they have personnel in the backfield that you need to be aware of anyway, and I don't think every team has that. I think you're underestimating the rest of the package. That's all I'm saying.
I think everybody else overestimates the rest of the package.
I just think, Andy, and you should know this. In the
don't
NFL.
Be,
con- like
don't be condescending. Don't be condescending.
Are you Mike Reese? Are you disappointed?
You can't have.
Here's where I jump ship. Don't be condescending.
You can't just have a few things you do well in this league and be that great as they were last year because teams can shut down, you know.
Well, they, you know. Well. They had one thing that they did really well last year, and that was throw the football. And
right.
as the year
throw
went
the
on,
football.
It became less and less
and
effective.
And that's why they scored less and got into dogfights later in the year.
That's true, but they still won. You know, so they did the other things well enough
right.
so that when they shut that down, they could still pull these
but
victories
But I'm not
out.
Even talking about victories now. I'm just talking about production on offense. That's what I'm and the argument that Matt Cassel inherited the greatest offense in the history of the league, which he did on paper. But I think it doesn't quite fill out. They don't live up to the points as a full offense. It was a couple guys.
Okay.
I just want to know the offense that has four great receivers, two great running backs, a great quarterback, a great tight end, and five great linemen.
If you want to go to ridiculous arguments like that,
but
then there isn't
saying.
One.
I mean,
but
like,
I'm
who
saying
has
it's
more?
Two people. Two people, simple. If you want to jump to
three
seven,
people.
You can jump.
Brady.
No, because I'm
well,
saying.
Well, don't even put this offense anywhere near last year's.
I'm putting the
in terms
quarterback.
Of production.
See, you don't listen. You're talking about what Matt Cassel's surrounded by. That's what you're talking about, the inheritance of an offense.
And you're dismissing.
Brady doesn't come with
and you're
Matt
you're dismissing
Cassel.
More than half of it. You're
I'm saying it's two
line.
People, but you're saying, show me an offense that has 11. Well,
no,
is there
11
a,
superstars to your level is what
is
I'm looking for.
Is there a different
My
number
point,
between
Andy,
2 and 11,
underestimating.
Like maybe 3 or 4?
You're underestimating
because I'll show
the
you
strength
those.
Of the offensive line.
Maybe that is. I don't think
you're
they're
underestimating
very good. I think they're
the ability
group.
Of Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk. I think you're completely dismissing Kevin Falk, which you've been doing since day one.
Kevin Falk is a contributor, and I haven't
a
dismissed
contributor.
Him at all.
A contributor.
First of all,
you're calling him a contributor.
I've never dismissed him.
I get made fun of for calling
See, you
Wes
don't
Welker.
Listen. All
a
you
good
do is start
receiver.
Talking, and then it's woe is Paul time because Paul always has to be wrong.
That's
how the argument's going to end
happens
here.
When you ever question football with
the argument.
No, but what you do is you put words in my mouth. I've never disregarded. What
I'll
Kevin Falk has done.
I'll put the word
I
in
made
mouth.
A contributor.
You just called him a contributor.
And he is.
That's the word you used.
He
I
is.
Didn't put that in your mouth.
He is.
Well,
I think
Nick
that's
Kasher's
a slap
a
you
contributor
to this
offense.
I think Nick Cazier is a
Nick
contributor.
Nick Cazier is a contributor to this offense.
If I'm going to get made fun of, if I'm going to get made fun
I think
of for saying Wes Welker can be replaced, then I'm sorry. I'm going to make fun
I
of you.
I think Wes Welker and Kevin
Falk
are similar level players. Welker puts up bigger numbers because of the role.
But you don't even count him. You counted only two people, Moss and Welker.
Yeah, you're right. Then I don't think if my measuring point is 100 catches, 1,000 yards, and touchdowns, then Kevin Falk is a contributor.
All right. Well, all I said, Andy, was that I think you're underestimating the rest of the
But
puzzle.
All you said was,
that's all
now
I
show
said.
Me an offense that has four great receivers, a
right.
great tight end, a great running back, a great quarterback, five Pro Bowl linemen.
Right, because you're obviously.
Because I'm saying it was two. There's something
Who's
between
the guy
two
who
and
can't
11.
Talk now?
Oh, now Fred. Paul's going to sulk because I won't let him talk.
No, because you keep saying the same thing over and over that I'm not
saying.
Right,
I'm defending myself because you made a ridiculous argument and jumped to extremes.
No.
Because I said Falk sucks, which I never said. Did I ever say that?
Did I say that you said that?
You said I've never given him credit, I believe, or whatever you said.
Since day one of this season. You called him, you said he was diminishing skills.
Well, that actually happened in the offseason. It was a prediction.
Right. So you've never given him any credit this season since day one.
That's incorrect. I've laughed every single week when he's made plays and said, boy, that was a dumb thing to say.
Okay, well, let me move on.
So then he's more than a contributor.
One was a prediction and one is...
No, he reiterates that he's a contributor.
I know. I think he's a contributor.
I'm not putting words...
Mr. Patriot.
He keeps saying I'm putting words in his mouth, but he's saying it, not me.
Now, like, game manager, contributor is a bad...
Hey, in the blocking game, even Ben Watson's a contributor.
Right.
I mean,
I agree with that.
Don't...
Contributor to me is a positive thing.
Don't put Kevin Falk on the same level as other guys. He does more for that offense than the average... guy on the offensive side
of the ball. No question. That's why
I said
he's the team MVP.
He's a key part of the
offense. That's why I said he's the team MVP.
But there's just one thing that I want.
But while being the team MVP, they're 7-5. So he hasn't been able to carry them to this great season. So he's contributed.
That's because of Castle. But I'm not even going to get into that.
But if Kevin Falk was great, if he was unstoppable, he'd be able to carry them to a better record. Look, that's the way it works.
I think they'd be 5-7 without him.
I think they would be. But if he was Adrian Peterson, maybe
also
they'd be 9-2 or 9-3.
I think it's also due to the total implosion of the running game, starting with Lawrence Maroney. That was something we looked forward to this year, and it never happened.
Is Kevin Falk a running back?
He's.
Okay. But my point is, if he was a great player, he would be more than a contributor. He's a very good player in the role he's in.
Absolutely.
But
that's a key role for this team.
It's a key role for this team. I agree with all of that.
You know,
but let's not pretend that he's this all-pro running back who can carry an offense.
My point.
I don't think anyone ever said that.
He's a role player. No. He's a contributor.
No,
he plays his role as well as anyone.
If you had an all-pro running back, okay, wouldn't this offense be a hell of a lot better than it is right now?
Yes.
You know, so. You can't even make that example right now because that's not even something that they have.
But my point is, he got mad because I called him a contributor.
I didn't get mad for that. I got mad because you scoffed at my five Pro Bowl linemen, four receivers. I wasn't saying that you suggested that that's what you needed for an offense. That was the only part of it that I thought was unfair that you said. My point being is that it doesn't matter how many great players they have because you just say they only have two guys. And I'm saying, well, what are you asking for? Are you asking for all of them? Or are you just dismissing the contributions of the rest of them? There's no way any offense could get, five all-pro linemen and four deep receivers. And no one's ever going to have all of that, especially in the salary cap era. So I'm not suggesting that you say that that's what you need. I was just saying you have to look at last year, whether we think Maroney's a bust or not, Maroney had 400-yard games down the stretch. That was a big part of the offense.
That's why
that offense was so great.
And it seemed like every time Dante Stallworth got the ball, it was a big play.
He made a huge play.
He made plays. Guys, there's no question.
But Andy, if you look at it on the surface and say, well, Matt Castle's not going to have Dante Stallworth, yeah, that would be a laughable thing to say.
But to me, that's what people are saying. People are saying that you can't – a big part of Matt Castle's success is the offense he inherited. And I'm saying, for example, he can't go there. But the Dallas Cowboys have – talent on offense. They have a running back. They have an all-pro tight end. They have an all-pro receiver. They have, I don't know if Roy Williams is an all-pro receiver or not, but a very good receiver. That's a team in the same era, same league, that could recreate the talent.
Yeah.
Not the production, but the talent that Matt Castle could be given.
But we're looking for a team that's looking for a quarterback, too, don't forget.
Well,
that's how this all started.
I would say Detroit, before they traded Roy Williams, with Calvin Johnson and Roy Williams, if you put Matt Castle on that team, he has two receivers that are physically as gifted as
and
or better than
if the offensive line sucks,
two.
It doesn't matter.
No question. I'm not saying he can build a franchise. But my point is, I think people over... It's just like... I think it's very easy to say he inherited the best offense in league history.
And you move on.
Just like people say, well, the Patriots, they have that aging defense. Well, have you done a little research? Have you looked at it?
They really aren't an aging
Because they have a lot of young players playing. But even yesterday, I listened to The Big Show. They had Chris Berman on, and they called him on it. And he goes, well, coaches tell me they're getting older, not old, but older on defense. Well, then coaches aren't looking at who's actually playing.
What?
Because they really only have...
Because people paint with a broad brush.
I mean, if they
look at Harrison, they look at Brewski and Vrabel, and they go,
well,
they're
Harrison's
old.
Not even playing.
Harrison's not on the team.
Brewski's a situational role player.
But it's really Brewski is the only old guy.
Now, at this point, you're right.
And even the old guy Vrabel, who's, yes, old, isn't that old. and is coming off an all-pro season.
I mean, the bottom line is, on day one of this season, eight of their starters were under 30.
Right.
So they weren't old to start with.
But everybody
forget about Rodney Harrison.
Ooh, that New England defense.
Probably more than eight. What do they have? AD, Vrabel, and Brewski, right? They're all 30? And then Rodney. So eight out of their 12 starters, if you count Merriweather, who started from day one, were under 30.
Delph O'Neill.
He didn't start day one, did he?
Fernando Bryant.
He did start day one.
He started day one.
Yeah, all right. So, whatever.
The point is, they have a lot of young playmakers. I mean, Gary Guyton plays more than Brewski, or as much as Brewski. So, he's in the regular mix. So, their age is not... The issue is they don't play good defense.
I actually started off, believe it or not, on Andy's side, because they do say that about this offense that Castle's in a lot.
Right.
Is that, well, who couldn't succeed with that offense? Well, this isn't the offense that Brady played in last year.
It isn't.
It's not, and by the way, it's nowhere near as productive either.
Right.
Yep.
They haven't been anywhere close to as good as what they were last year. And, you know, truth be told, Brady probably wouldn't be anywhere near as as productive as they were last year either.
Season.
It was a special year.
He'd be 9-3.
Now, I'm not talking about the record, Fred. I'm talking about 589 points.
I understand.
He gets so defensive.
They would only have one loss, by the way, if Brady was quarterbacking, but that's beside the point.
I still think they lose Pittsburgh for definitely.
See,
no way.
I think they'd probably win Pittsburgh.
There's no chance they
might lose San Diego.
The only game they would have lost in my mind is San Diego.
Yeah.
I have the tiebreaker info.
Okay.
What do you got for us?
All right. So if there was a three-way tie, that would mean that the Dolphins beat the Jets.
Right.
Which would mean that the Dolphins and the Patriots would tie for common opponent win percentage because the Jets lost two to the Dolphins. And then the Dolphins would then have AFC game winning percentage over the Patriots.
Why would we be eliminating the Jets?
Because that would be assuming that the Jets lost to the Dolphins for the second time this year.
Common
and they would be 0-2 against.
That's untrue. The Jets beat the Dolphins opening day.
Oh, go back to the drawing board.
Well, do they still do the thing where they eliminate one team?
I think they do, and I wanted to know why the Jets were eliminated, because that's right. I think he's right. But not for that reason, because the Jets and the Dolphins would have split.
Well, the Jets have
if the Dolphins win.
Terrible conference record, right? Haven't all their losses been Broncos, Raiders, Patriots?
That's three of their losses.
Well, it just says they would be eliminated because of common opponents record.
Common opponents, okay. So the Dolphins and the Patriots must have the same record against common opponents.
Raiders, Jets, Dolphins, all those teams.
Makes it go to, they lost to San Diego also. That's their
And the
losses.
Patriots will pick up two more AFC East conference games if they went out. So, because they'll have beaten the Bills and who else? Oh, just one more.
It doesn't matter because they won't have as good a record as Miami if Miami wins out.
I think it all won't matter when they go 2-2.
3-1.
Let's see. Brian from Honolulu writes in, yesterday's show was hilarious and just what I needed after Sunday. Fred's call to arms was priceless. I was waiting for you to say, did we give up when the Germans attacked Pearl Harbor? No.
I did say leave Maloney's on a roll.
Keep it up. Then I
now, was Giselle one of the Germans who attacked Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
Then I hear Paul say he was afraid that if he went to China for a football game, he might not make it out alive. Trust me, there is no part of China more dangerous than Detroit, Miami, or Oakland. But given a choice, I would prefer London. Many years ago, I was a student at Cambridge University, and I loved everything there except the food. I lived on fish and chips and Indian food. That should be a great trip.
Apparently, I'm eating fish and chips.
I'm in trouble because I ain't eating fish and chips.
You eat chips, though.
No. How many chips can I really eat, Andy?
I've seen you eat a lot of chips.
Come on.
While I have not been to Seattle for a football game, my wife and I go to see the Red Sox play the Mariners every year. Quest and Safeco Fields are located next to each other on the waterfront, and both are fantastic. A short trip to downtown, the Space Needle and Pike's Market. Across the street from Safeco Field is the Pyramid Ale House, which offers great beer and good pub food at a reasonable price looking for a place
ale
to go.
I like it.
Oh, no, that whole area of the country, it's all microbrew crap.
Yeah, Paul's in it.
Lastly, as bad as some Pats fans feel, it could be
a lot worse.
I don't
drink on the road anyway because you guys don't let me.
Remember all the Culpepper talk after Brady got hurt? After watching some of that Thanksgiving game, I could not help but think where we would be if they had turned to Culpepper instead of Castle. Talk about diminished skills. Not to mention that at first I thought that Ted Washington was the Lions quarterback. So that's Brian from Honolulu. And in the studio now is
Eric Scalavino. I have no formal artistic training.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Fred.
What's going on?
It's a
you
cameo.
Look cold.
It's a cameo for me today. I got a lot of stuff to do, so I'm going to give you the update, and then I got to go.
I love the way he just dictates what he's doing around here.
Well, would you rather I stay on the show and gab for an hour
or get stuff done
for the paper? It's up to you.
Where were you before practice?
Upstairs doing
not
stuff
like he
for the
contributes
paper.
Anyway.
I was going to say, he brings nothing to the show
doing?
Anyway.
He would have just gotten away of me and Andy's argument anyway.
Are you drawn?
It's like when they cut C.J. Jones early
working
in the year.
For the paper.
He would have corrected my grammar.
Working for the paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's a novelty around here. Working on first down, the mailbag. I'm working on the feature for this
mailbag.
Week.
Oh,
I'm actually doing
for
the
tattoo paper.
Story.
For
he
the
just
paper.
Takes pictures
yeah.
of men.
I alter it slightly because, you know, you like to have a little bit different thing for the web than
okay.
for the paper.
Right.
So
well,
I'm
there's
doing
been a request to take all the first names out.
Yeah, by some idiot who nobody cares about.
Oh!
Wow.
Some moronic fool.
Plus, they also request that you have an opinion moving forward in the future.
It's the same person, Andy. It's not they.
Oh, it's
one
they.
Person.
It's a groundswell
so,
of criticism.
It's one idiot, and I don't listen to one idiot.
Groundswell of criticism against you.
Yeah. The opinion
anyway,
thing is always...
five guys missing from
anyway.
Practice.
Five guys missing from practice.
Yeah, they were all at the burger
burgers.
Stand. Right. Kidding.
Or at Eric's house.
All right. Kelly Washington, Vince Redd, Pierre Woods, Ty Warren, and Adalys Thomas. They were in shells outside, upper field.
How'd 95 look?
Like 95.
Okay.
Like 59 only.
How much
do
you
want
to bet
switch.
Bill says that the next press conference? He looked like Rosie.
Did he have the little red shirt on underneath?
He did not.
Oh.
No, he had the...
Vince Redd, huh?
Yeah, Vince Redd.
What happened?
There.
He
wasn't there.
Five guys.
Wasn't
oh,
I wasn't
five. This is a surprise.
Large media contingent?
A little bit larger than usual.
They're all covering the Bruins now?
A little bit larger than usual, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple
larger.
Of extra people.
He said larger.
I know.
He had his follow-up ready
I know.
Before.
Because he's always on the defensive. Oh, these jerks, they don't deserve to cover us.
Well, to be fair, the Bruins are the best team in hockey, or one of the top three or four. And,
yeah.
Well, you know.
But it's still hockey.
This is true.
It's like saying, oh, the Revolution are the best team in the... You know,
no,
so.
It's not like
no,
that. But
it's not that bad.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
We draw more per game than they do.
No, you don't.
Yes,
no,
we
don't.
Do.
Dragging
not,
homeless
not
people
capacity.
In and making them sit in a seat is not fair.
Not by capacity, you know.
Well, obviously, percentage-wise, it's 68,000, but numbers, we have more people here.
I'd like to know who made no, those numbers.
They don't sell out. It's not like they sell out.
I'm telling you, you
the
don't have as
available.
Many. You don't sell as many tickets as they do.
Well, we
That's
don't have
I'm
as many
telling.
Games. What else, Eric?
How many games did you have?
What else, Eric?
11.
Did you guys,
you didn't sell as many in the first 11 games.
See, when you don't have as many games, you're supposed to sell more to those games. Like football, see, there's only 8, so they sell 70 or 80,000.
What else, Eric?
They play to 110%. They
I'd
play
like
to 110%.
But, you know, I can't really
capacity.
Talk over this.
They can just talk amongst themselves.
You should have seen us. We had a good one going.
About what? Oh, Paul and Andy. Yeah.
You guys went at it?
Oh, yeah.
Really? You'll be on Paul's side.
I
was putting words in his mouth.
I don't even know what they were arguing
about.
He actually had 12 all-pros on a single offense.
Wow.
They went on
first time
you
were wide.
I don't know what they were. I don't know
what
the
was
argument
the argument
was.
About.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, Fred was actually part of it. Now he's being a dick.
I was going to say it's pretty clear that you didn't know what it was about based on your comments during it. Okay.
So what was it about?
Just about Castle and the offense and whatnot.
The offense.
Andy thinks that the Patriots
Andy
offense
last year's offense
overrated.
Was overrated. That's putting words in your mouth.
Yes.
You thought last year's offense was overrated.
This is the argument. Matt Castle, you have to take everything he's done with a grain of salt because he inherited the greatest offense in league history, and I go. Well, all he really inherited was Welker and Moss. So if you're going to sign Matt Castle, you need to recreate two very good receivers and fill in around him.
And believe it
I think
or not,
the rest of those
that
parts
basic
are overrated.
Point, I agree with him. And then somehow we
and
ended
somehow
up
in
an argument.
And then he just kept putting
things
in my mouth.
From there?
No, there was like five little arguments. In
Mark
Sage,
new gender.
He scoffingly referred to Kevin Faulk as a contributor.
He's a contributor.
Scoffingly said that.
Like, oh, with the diminishing skills like you were trying to
no,
Faulk
that was
earlier
a, that was
in the
a
season?
Side argument. As I said, there were five different arguments in there.
Oh, my God.
He said I'd never given him credit. I dare say I give him
never
more.
Give who credit?
Oh, that Faulk. Dolphins game isn't until the last week.
Because it was a prediction that he was going to have diminishing skills, and I laugh yeah. every week when he has, you know,
and
70
we,
yards
right.
rushing and 50 yards receiving.
He has a 50-yard run, and we turn to you and say, diminishing skills, and you laugh.
Now, ESPN is writing Patriots' own tiebreaker. Over who?
I don't know.
The Dolphins?
Oh, the Dolphins. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's why they were listed.
By the way, several of our emailers have chimed in and said that according
Andy's
to Pro
wrong.
Football Talk, no, that Ryan Clark will not be fined.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I think that was a guess.
I think he needs to
today.
Be fined.
Yeah,
he should be fined.
I think that was. I don't know if that's definitely.
It's a late hit. It was unnecessary roughness. Now they're saying that it wasn't late then.
Fines go out on Tuesday, right?
It's definitely late.
When do they use it?
Tuesday.
Well, the ball
they,
was still in play.
Tuesday, and
players usually have
out.
Them on their chair Wednesday
right.
in there.
Right.
The ball was still in play. To me, it
but,
was a late hit.
Yeah.
Because the ball was still head level. On the, I mean, it wasn't close to the ground.
Did either of you guys hear Welker's response when one of our colleagues said they saw him?
Yeah, you
talked about that.
Two gender
Numbnut just played it. Like, Fred and I were talking, and he just played that clip in the middle of us talking. He's had a bad day back there.
He's doing all right.
Seymour had a decent quote today, too. Did you talk about
did
that?
Did he? What did he say?
Ty Law thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your quote of the week.
What did he say?
Oh, I used the Welker thing. You want to change it?
What was the Welker thing?
The one they just were talking about where he said, that was it looked like I week? Saw him coming. That was kind of funny.
Paul's picking fights with everybody today.
I can change it. Don't worry. It's okay.
I'll explain to you.
I think I know what you mean. But
I think
it.
He was
fine.
Being a little bit of a jerk.
That's fine. I'll change
that.
It.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that question.
No, but I think it's a funny comment.
I think it's a funny comment,
did you see
though.
Did it look like I saw him coming?
The troubling part is he doesn't pull it off as funny. He pulls it off as
I don't think he was joking.
Really?
Yeah. He does not have good delivery of
those. That's my point.
If he was joking, it'd be funny.
It's a quote of the week.
It wasn't funny. He was a jerk.
It's a fine
quote. He was jerking? He wasn't joking.
He was jerking, not joking. Everything's going to turn into a Seinfeld bit here.
Wow.
What?
Why are you being so racy?
I'm not being racy. I thought when Wes Welker was on the show, he was very funny.
Yeah.
And I could tell when he was being jokey.
Back then he was jokey. Now he's jerky.
So seriously, do you want me to change it?
No.
You want to put the other one?
No.
I can. It's no big deal to me.
I don't. It's your column.
Column? You have a column now? I didn't know that.
The big column, Fred.
Yeah?
Lengthy.
Yeah?
Wow.
Two genders not paying attention.
Screech.
We could call it the vino wine. I like it. You like
I
get
see,
it?
Yeah,
get
yes,
it?
Yes. W-H-I-N-E.
Yeah, Scalavino. Right.
The vino wine.
Vino wine.
I don't like it.
You don't like anything.
I like it, Fred.
Are you still feeling lightheaded? Did you tell him you were feeling lightheaded before? I almost fell off my chair laughing when you said that.
You were lightheaded?
He said he felt lightheaded.
My forehead was tingling.
You look like one of those Macy's parade things. You can't be lightheaded.
Well, those things are full of hot
air,
though.
They actually float. Those are balloons.
You know, I said if Ty Law can do it, anybody can do it.
How hard is it to get it?
Wow. What's he referencing?
Rosie Coleman
coming back.
Season.
Playing right away.
Okay. All right.
Be fair. Doesn't Ty Law work out with Jackie Joyner Kersee or Bob Kersee, one of those Kerseys? Rosie said he was breaking leaves.
Rosie
combing his daughter's
hair.
Yeah.
So it'll be funny.
You know he wasn't paying anyone to rake those leaves.
It'll be funny, though, having Rosie back on the plane. We'll have to, like, hide our waters.
Competition for my waters. Yeah. Especially these long trips at hotels. I try to grab, like, 6 or 8 for the hotel room.
He's going to come and read over our shoulders, too, like he did last year, and start correcting us.
Right. I know this is just a cameo for you, Eric.
Is that annoying?
Anything else before you leave?
What's that?
I know this is a cameo. Anything else before you leave?
That's pretty much it, Fred. You don't really need me anyway, so don't. Yeah, what you
true that.
Don't act like you're, you know.
Don't write yourself off like that.
We had a good show for an hour 15.
Got to tell you, though.
We had something good going for a while, though.
See, all right, Eric's leaving. He's going to go work.
Shut off your headphones.
He's going to go work on the paper.
Oh, say can you see.
Is that Rene Wrinkle? How do you say his last name, Wrinkle?
I like it. The vino wine.
The wine.
See, unlike you, Fred, I don't just dismiss other people's creativity.
Right. Matt from England, not Matt from Connecticut, says,
it's a different Matt.
Yesterday we were talking about what does stay away from the ground mean? And some
yes, I was very interested in that.
He has the actual meaning. He said when the emailer wrote in saying stay away from the ground, he meant make sure your hotel is away from Wembley Stadium, which they call the ground.
Oh, see?
The stadium itself is amazing, but the area around it is less so. In addition, is there any update on Seymour's health? He seemed to be missing on third down enough when surely being our best defensive player, he needs to be on the most important down.
That was not health related. He said on WEEI, I heard it, that he was told before the game he was not going to be involved in the third down plays, that he was not part of the third down.
But could it have been health related?
Well, maybe to monitor his snaps or something. I don't know, but it wasn't.
I'm just meaning in terms of he was on
health related.
No, because he was on the injury report all week. He missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. He was limited on Friday.
Sure.
Maybe they said I don't know how much we're going to get out of him. Although it doesn't make any sense to me if you were limiting his snaps, you took away the most important ones
they
on
call
third
it the
down.
Money down.
Yeah.
I got to agree with Seymour.
I do. Too.
I mean, he is supposed to be your best guy out there, or one of them, and third down is. Like you said, the money down.
I got to criticize the decision because, as Seymour said, I mean, players play, coaches coach, critics criticize.
I mean, maybe.
Did you say that?
No, I added the critics criticize.
So I don't know.
He said writer's right, actually. He did say writer's right.
And when asked about that, Belichick didn't poo-poo it. He said, hey, that's kind of – I can understand where he's coming from, you know. But we make decisions, you know, that we think is in the best
interest
of the team.
Of the football team. I got
but
that
but
one
I don't blame a I don't blame a player for wanting to be out there, basically. So we'll see.
And he should be out there, in theory.
We think, unless there's something that they want done on that down that he can't do.
I don't think there's anything that a defensive lineman does that he can't do.
I don't either. Maybe I don't know. I just don't know.
I'd like to give him the opportunity to do it.
How about Jarvis Green? Earlier in the week, too, was very critical of his own play and the pass rush in general. How much has that, you think, impacted the third down problems? He's not making any plays at all.
Certainly a part of it.
Do you see any
of that,
but Fred?
You know what? I like Jarvis Green. He's a nice player. But a lot of the plays that he made were when Patriots had leads and they could afford to sick the dogs after the quarterback, and he'd pick up a lot of late third, fourth quarter sacks. You know?
I agree that that's when a lot of his numbers piled up, but when he's on the field, he's not playing the run.
No, he's not playing the run.
His job is to get after the passer on third downs.
Right.
And he hasn't done it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe the book's out on these guys. Maybe we have to reevaluate this all-star studded front line that the Patriots have. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't worry about the starters. I think they played very
well.
Well,
we're arguing we want the stars back studded on the field.
I know. I think Wilfork's had a great – but he's not a passing down
Well, but
of
he
guy.
Was in no. there some of the time.
Yeah.
But Seymour has gotten to the quarterback this year.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, he's not
and not just
set a record or anything, but seven and a half sacks is a pretty good.
He had a lot of pressure. Set a career high for everybody who wanted him. He's a half game back of his eight career
I've
high.
Seen him turn a lot of plays inside. He's done a lot of things. You know, this is one of those years where, oh, you can see what the other coaches say, you know, when they laud him, and we don't know, you know, what are they seeing? You know, what are the little things that make him so great? I see a lot of that this year.
Plus, correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of times, Seymour moves to the nose in sub-packages.
Yeah.
And
right.
in theory, if he's in there and they're struggling with him, not necessarily, you know, a speed rush to get to the quarterback, but struggling to keep him from collapsing the pocket, that makes life on Jarvis Green or Pierre Woods or Mike Vrabel, guys on the edge, a little bit easier because there's a lot more attention focused in the middle of the field where Richard Seymour has the shortest distance to the quarterback and can make life the most difficult. So I get back to what Bill said. If you have Reggie White, you play him. Well, he's the closest thing you have to a Reggie White.
But
play him.
He's not, and I don't know. I mean, there must be a reason. I mean, they want to win.
I think the health is a plausible reason that they're
That's
monitoring
the only thing
snaps.
I can think of.
Because he did play, even while not playing in those, he played, what did Reese have, 78% or 70-something percent of the snaps.
I didn't see it this week.
So, you know, he's still playing a high number of snaps, but I'd like for him to be Randy Moss. I want him on the field until he taps his helmet or does whatever and says, take me off the field.
I agree.
A couple programming notes.
Rudolph is on tonight.
I have a note here from Dan that says, say Warren Moon will be on Patriots Playbook at 2:05. Okay, Warren Moon will be on Patriots Playbook at 2:05 today. Warren Moon.
He had something really controversial to say last week.
On Patriots Playbook?
No.
Oh.
I forget.
But ask him what he thinks about Matt Cassel and if the offense he inherited is a bit overrated.
So he's going to be on Warren Moon on Patriots Playbook, 2:05.
It's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. I don't know. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I'm not sure. Canadian Hall of Fame.
I think it's funny we all go, I don't know. Is he a Hall of Fame? I think he is.
Why don't you look it up? You got the book.
I think he's one of those guys that
pro
has,
football.
Yeah,
you know,
he truly has a pro football career.
That's not the book you look up in.
Also, tomorrow, the Qdoba question of the week.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Will be asked at 1:07. So for those of you listening tonight on your iPods or other MP3 player, 1:07 tomorrow will be the Qdoba question of the week. So we're bringing that back after a one-week hiatus.
Thanksgiving. Would have been weird to come in and eat tacos.
It's good to know.
I would have rather had the tacos.
He hates everything. Now it's degrees of hate. He doesn't like Mexican, but he likes Mexican more than turkey.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those days for Paul.
I don't like turkey that much.
Days?
I don't like turkey that much either.
So why are we so different? One of those days for Fred.
It's a very bland meat. I with gravy, it's okay.
You have to smother it in gravy for me to be able to eat it.
Luckily, most people have gravy, except for us, because...
My wife screwed up the
then,
gravy.
But, you know, anything's good in gravy, you know, really. What? Potatoes, you could put it
But
on.
That's what you do. You put all that on and then you pour
it. I know,
just
but I'd rather have a nice piece of roast beef.
Yeah.
Without gravy.
That I don't need gravy.
Right. See, I need a condiment with everything. I use ketchup. I use blue cheese. I use salad dressing. I use Miracle Whip. Whatever. I need condiments.
I'm with you, Fred. Like, I have a good piece of steak. I don't need a steak sauce.
Right.
Now, I like steak sauce. I like the way steak sauce tastes.
Yeah,
but if it's a good piece of meat, I don't want that.
Absolutely.
One more note on Warren Moon. He's the only player ever to be enshrined in both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Canadian Football Hall
there
of
you
Fame.
Go. Well, Flutie will be the second.
And he's the only modern African-American quarterback elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, there you go. Nice. Are there some ancient ones?
Well, that's like not modern ones. There are.
It must be like before the NFL, I would assume.
Oh, okay.
But back then they didn't let him. I mean.
No, it wasn't like baseball.
So there are black quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame from like the 30s?
I don't know. Apparently they threw in that word modern for a reason.
I think they just happened to throw it in there. Look that up too, Gender. I want to know how many.
It was on Wikipedia. You can't trust anything that says.
That's true.
Right. Look
at
it
least
up.
It was an Urban Dictionary.
Go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see what quarterbacks are there and then cross-reference them with a racial database to find out if they're black or white. Or we can just assume based on names.
Steve from Westford, a few thoughts on the drubbing on Sunday. Is Dean Pease long for this team? In his conference call, Pease said he's now up in the booth because he needed to call plays in more quickly and clearly than in the past. Then he admitted that he made an illegal substitution that was never called.
No. He said there was an illegal substitution on the Steelers that wasn't called. That had them slow to get their personnel group in because the Steelers ran somebody all the way to the huddle and ran somebody off, had 12 men in the huddle. That the Patriots didn't know which personnel group they were going to be in. They got in late, and the safety was not over the tight end. It's a very – read the transcript. It's a very specific answer on a third and two from the 18 or something.
Okay.
The penalty should have been called in his eyes. I don't know. I don't remember
the play.
Good job
by Andy right there.
But in his eyes, it should have been an offensive penalty. Now, he did say on another one, I think, that they were slow to get something in, but I don't know for sure that he's long for this defense.
Fred.
But do you blame it on him or the personnel?
The personnel.
Because I thought you had iffy personnel last year, and then you weakened it by allowing your best player, at the very minimum, your best playmaker to walk.
Right.
So I don't know how much I can blame that on the coaching.
I know. It's just a feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I mean, when they, you know.
And I also fall back on because it annoys me, but it's kind of like on offense or the whole team. When it's good, it's Bill. When it's bad, somebody's got to go. And it's not Bill that's got to go. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's Bill's defense when they're holding teams to an average of 12 points a game for an entire season, but it's Dean P's defense when they can't stop anybody on third down. You know what I mean? Like, so
that is true.
I'm falling victim to something I hate. But again, it's just a gut feeling.
Fred, Andy has the grip. Did you mean croup? The only grip Andy has is from his right hand. No, the grip is something like in the 30s you talk about.
That's lubricant.
I never heard of that.
You never
what is the grip?
I said that yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe two gender can look
I
that
did
up
hear your Typhoid Wikipedia. Mary thing.
Typhoid Mary. And then also, Steve doesn't like Gil Santos. He rants on about Gil missing a few calls in the game.
Which game? You're going to need to be more specific.
Talk about like Pittsburgh touchdowns?
Gil and I, we had a lot of teachers that taught us both.
Gil, that was a nice moment, Fred, in the security line after the last game. Miami. Coming back from Miami, Gil found out that Andy was from Dartmouth, and that's where Gil's from.
Well, he's from Fairhaven. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what about Dartmouth.
And he went to Dartmouth High then, right?
Something. I
and he, you know, he was wondering if Andy had a lot of, you know, Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones.
Right.
You know the fact that, you know, 57 years separated the two of their high school careers should in no way.
How old is he?
Oh, he's
got to be in his 70s, right?
I don't know, actually, to be honest with you. I mean, upper 60s.
He can't be younger than 65.
I don't know. Holy Toledo!
And Andy's what, 31?
30.
31?
No, I'm 30.
That's what everybody says.
No way, Jose.
No, I don't care. I'll tell you next May.
No,
that
I know.
I'm
so Andy's 30, and Gil Santos has got to be at least 65. I'm saying he's in his 70s, and he's wondering if they had the same teachers.
So there,
and this went on for like 20 minutes.
At least a 35 year difference, and I think teachers, you need to teach 20 years to get your pension. So who in their right mind would be doubling up on the required time?
Steve says, finally, there's no way the Pats went out. The Cardinals will shred this secondary in week 17. They're not playing in Week 17, are they? They're playing the Bills.
Week 16.
Yeah. Kurt Warner may be a lot less.
How does he suddenly know exactly the week? Like,
Kurt Warner may be a lot less than he once was, but he can still chuck the ball into the 15-yard cushion that is Ellis Hobbs. Thanks, men. Keep up the great work. You too, Eric.
Ellis Hobbs got two big boxes from Swahili.
On the phone right now, I know, Dan. On the phone right now is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good.
That's one of those that only you and I will get. What's up, John?
I want to clarify something I said last week.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Last week I said, we're going to kill the Steelers. We're going to kill them.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I really didn't mean
wow.
that. I
people
meant
have
that,
said
like,
a lot of
we're
wrong
gonna
things.
We're going to kill the Steelers. Like the Steelers are actually going to kill. That's what ended up happening.
I see. Because that happened in the second half.
Right.
There was one killing going on, and the Patriots were the killing.
It's sort of like if I said, he has no formal artistic training. Eric. That's what it's like.
So, okay.
That was ugly.
Yes, it was.
So have you given up? Are you one of the fans? Are you one of the fans that Fred's mad at for giving up on the season?
No, I'm not. I definitely think it's going to be tough. I agree with the emailer you just read. I think the Cardinals are going to be tough, and I think they're going to be tough even if they're. I mean, even that they're in Foxborough, it's still a bad matchup for us.
I would agree. Yep. Any team that has a good quarterback and a good receiver is a bad matchup.
I like the Patriots' chances only because of the history of it. I mean, Arizona's struggled every time they've come east.
Arizona team. Is it Wisenhunt?
This year, Wisenhunt. But this year, they've struggled coming east.
Didn't they play the Giants tough or something? Was that in
Arizona?
Yeah,
it was in Arizona.
Damn it.
It's something you guys talked about yesterday that an emailer wrote in I could not agree more with, which is we have not beat anyone this year. I mean, even a team like the Chargers, who are the biggest busts of the season, despite how talented they are, even without Merriman, we have lost to them.
Beat the Jets.
You beat the Dolphins. You beat the Broncos. Those are the three best wins.
And that's sad.
There are three teams that could beat you for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well.
But you also lost to two of those three teams.
I think we can still do it. But like Andy was saying yesterday. I don't think it's likely. A gun to my head. I'm not sure what I think, but I'm psyched. This is an interesting and neat way to try to win it. I love this team, even though they piss me off. They are.
I can sense the love, even though they even though they piss me off.
They piss you off.
You know what but they're like it isn't like I loved them last year. Last year was phenomenal. It was a blast, and this is not as fun as that. But it's different, and. You have sort of affection for them in a way that last year you were just sort of in awe.
Teams are like children. They're all unique in their own way.
I just think anyone that's just
gay, John.
You know, throwing in the towel at this point is just a spoiled, rotten fan, you know? The fact that they have to work for it this year, forget it. You know, it's not coming easy to us. So,
I don't really sense that disgust, though. You're saying it with a lot of anger, and I think people are just...
A realization.
Yeah, I think it's more of a realization.
It's like they don't want to have they don't want to have to invest any emotion into the season. If it's not going to be easy, I'm not going to.
No,
they don't have.
See, I disagree. It's not like they're saying, "Oh, we're not that good, so I'm just not going to watch. It's over."
That's what I think.
No, I think they're still watching, and they're just like, you know what? We're just not good.
They're like John. They're realizing that they probably aren't good enough. They haven't beaten really very many really good teams. But they're still into it. They're still waiting for the next game, and they're hoping. But they don't have a lot of confidence. That's all. I think that you're looking at it as they're spoiled rotten, and they're throwing stuff at the TV, and they're not going to watch them the rest of the year.
I don't think
people will do that.
I think a lot of people are disgusted.
I think the only people you're losing from viewership are the people that are hangers-on anyway, the pink hats.
And I'm not even sure there's too many of those that are leaving. I think people are still watching. They understand it's an uphill battle at this point.
Well, they need to buy things from the Patriots Pro Shop because it's Christmas and the Pro Shop online is open.
He changes gears so quickly.
I don't know how he does it. It's unbelievable.
He went from anger to sales pitch.
You really ought to be commended. Let me make a recommendation to the listeners.
What's that?
The listeners with wives and girlfriends.
There aren't any.
Always, anytime.
We don't have any of those.
Yes.
At Patriots.com, you get a scrunchie. The chicks, they love the scrunchies. They run out of it. They sort of wear down.
They like scrunchies.
It's a good thing to get. Yeah. Good thing to
1992?
Throw in.
There's a lot of good items in the page, and it's all on sale. 20% off.
The whole store's on sale?
Yep, 20% off right now online.
Now, how does that work with
What?
Is that 50?
I mean, since we normally get a discount?
On top of our, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
No, we only get our discount.
Oh, that's what I figured. Oh,
we get hosed.
Yeah.
May I make one more comment?
Sure.
I would like to make a comparison between rooting for the Patriots last year is like rooting for Randy Moss. He's phenomenal. You love watching him. He, most of the time, can't possibly fail. And rooting for the Patriots this year is like rooting for Troy Brown or Kevin Falk, where they're awesome also.
That's a good way to put it.
Sort of like the little engine that could. Right. This is the little engine that maybe can't.
This is a test of a fan. You know, who are the true fans? It's easy to root for the team that's ahead by 30 points every week.
All right, then.
Thanks,
all right, John.
John
from L.A. John, you made my point. Okay.
See, I think the Patriots last year were like Randy Moss last year, and the Patriots this year are like Randy Moss this year. The parallels are right there. I mean, just coming up short.
Todd Porter says the grip is the flu, and somebody's at the door.
Todd said somebody's at the door.
No one's there. This is webmaster Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
You know who sucks? Two gender at coming up with Words of the Day. The last guy was so much better. Today's is Rosie Palmer. That's Rosie Palmer. Obviously, the tie-in is to Rosie Colvin. And I always heard it was Mary Palmer and her five sisters.
Rosie Palm.
And her five sisters?
Yeah. Mary Palm, Rosie Palm.
It was Hannah and her sisters.
What? What does that mean?
You never heard of the movie Hannah and Her Sisters?
No.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Like, I have no problem the fact you didn't see it. I didn't see it either. But the fact that you never heard of it to me is astounding.
What was it, the 70s?
No, it won an Academy Award in the 90s, I believe.
Or late
80s?
I doubt that very much.
Late 80s?
Mid to early 80s, if that.
Maybe.
I didn't know it was an Academy Award winning thing either. But
I think he won Best Director.
Two gender, get on it. Look it up. Hannah.
Hannah and Her Sisters, IMDb.
And I don't think it was as recent as you're saying. I just can't believe you never heard of it. I mean, did you ever hear of Gone with the Wind?
Yes. Well, you tell me Hannah's as good as Gone with the Wind?
No, but
as critically acclaimed?
86.
And what did it win?
Okay.
Was it Best Picture, like Gone with the Wind?
No, Best Director, I believe.
Yeah, I always follow those.
All right, then.
Andy in Sioux City
we
writes in.
We gave him a good hour and 15, Fred.
Then Eric came in.
Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Best Writing Screenplay written directly
for
the
screen. Academy Awards. I stand corrected, Fred.
But it did not win Best Picture.
Andy in Sioux City, I really enjoyed Fred's rant yesterday on the fans throwing in the season. I think we are just trying to be realistic. Andy said it all yesterday when he pointed out that they have not won four in a row all season. I'm with Andy. There's no way they are going to win these last four games. I wouldn't be surprised to see them lose to the Raiders and Arizona and finish 9-7. I really think they'll finish 10-6, which still leaves them out of the playoffs. Yes, Fred, we have been spoiled lately, but I can't bear the thought of going back to the days of 8-8 and 3-13. My heart can't take it. I watched the first half of the game and the first possession for each team in the second half, and you could tell there was no way they were going to win that game. I had to leave before I started throwing things. Over the years, you can always count on Moss to play poorly in cold weather, including last year. Can you think of one good game Moss has ever had outside it in December or January? Yeah, against the Giants last year. Anyway, there could be one, but I can't think of it. We don't have the players on defense, and I can't hardly stand to watch the defense play most weekends. They suck. You can't keep letting players like Samuel go and then replace them with Hobbs. I will always be a fan and have been since 1976, and while I still hold out hope to make the playoffs so we can get our ass kicked in January, you have to look at how we have played the better teams. One more thing. Any fan that thinks we should keep Castle over Brady needs to go away and be a Jets fan or something. What a freaking idiot. Face it, Fred, they're done.
Wow. That's a little harsh.
By the way, I know we say spoiled fans, but that's just the way it is. Like, that's human nature. When you get used to anything, you don't like it when it's taken back. If you eat filet every night and somebody puts a hot dog on your plate, you go, I really like the filet better. Well, I mean, it's just human nature.
Whatever.
It is.
Steven from Oregon's on the phone. Steven, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Did Eric run away or is he still there?
He ran away.
Eric ran away.
He was just doing a cameo today.
He went to go do something artistic.
Right.
Yeah, he's with your son.
What?
Wow. Gee, you want to eat my salad? Andy taking shots at your listeners. Wow.
There's a surprise.
That's what I do.
Lubricants.
I can't wait to bring a tape measure, and if I can meet you guys this weekend and measure your head and actually get a size, and we'll put that on PFW in progress. <It's> so that everybody can send in their head size, and we can see where Andy rates.
Right.
It's not that big. This is an overrated gag.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Okay. Is it overrated that Paul's overweight?
No.
Is it overrated that Fred always wears a... Are you going to be in Seattle shirt with no buttons on your shirt there, Fred?
I might be.
That's also okay. Not overrated.
You'll see his chest hair and some nipples.
The stuff.
Little frozen, I'm sure, but...
little cheese.
Soggy. It's supposed to rain on Sunday.
I might wear pasties.
How cold is it?
It's supposed to be 46 and a 40% chance of rain on Sunday.
So no shorts for this trip, huh?
No.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that. So, yeah, I'm really... I'm doing my research so I can go to the game, so... And begging the wife, let me have some money from the Christmas money. I gotta go see the Patriots.
You got seven kids; they're not gonna get any presents now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, whatever. You know, they got some last year. They're good.
Whatever.
I got a 14-month-old. I can just give him a box, and he'll be very happy.
That's true. Just give him a set of keys.
Hey, any news on I don't know what's been going on with Welker, and has he been practicing, or has he been out, or?
Well, today's their first day back to practice, so we'll find out about 4 o'clock what he did out there. But he was out there, according to Eric.
He was out there. Okay. He was in the
locker
room.
I'll wait for confirmation on the injury report, however.
But he did talk in the locker room. We said this earlier, and he mentioned he's going to prepare like he would any other week, but it's up to the doctors, which that concerns me. I think that means there's a chance he might not play.
Anything come out? Did he have a concussion or anything like that, or...?
They have not.
They
said.
Haven't said it, but you know, I think it's safe to assume
right.
You don't know.
He was out talking, and he talking about doctors. And if it was anything other than a concussion, I would have thought, you know, there'd be something else there. If he broke his collarbone, or there's not a lot that could be going on other than a concussion.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Now, was there going to be a fine on that hit or not? Or,
I guess Florio, right, Fred? What did you say?
That there won't be.
There
a
won't
fine.
Be a fine.
Yeah.
I would think that there will be, but I guess Florio saying no. So
yep.
I'm surprised by that if there's no fine.
Hey, is that game in London, is that a home game for us or is that an away game?
Away.
Away.
That's an away? Okay, so you don't lose one at home. So
yeah, Mr. Kraft said he won't give up a home game until the fans vote for it. You see that line?
Is that right? What does that mean?
I don't know. He basically said he's not giving up a home game in any of these little league endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the Buccaneers have a big vested interest in doing this
making
game
friends
because
again.
The owner of the Buccaneers also owns Manchester United, one of the most popular soccer teams in England and the world.
And don't they hate him?
They used to. Now I guess they tolerate him. It's not. Oh. They were burning him in effigy, but now... I
guess he threw enough money at them so they stopped hating him.
Yeah, it's not so bad anymore, but they still have some problems with the season ticket pricing that or policy.
When is that league going under? The economy is going down. That can go away anytime it needs to. So.
Well, no, this is the Premier League.
The Premier League.
The English Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
Although they're having trouble.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like MLS trouble.
They don't have any salary cap. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to talk soccer. That's irrelevant.
Okay.
It is.
Hey, I don't know. Do you guys think that they can win out? And you think if they do win out, you think they'll make the playoffs? Or
Yes.
If they win out, I think they make the playoffs, but I don't think they win out.
You know, where do you think they'll fall at?
I think they could very easily fall to Arizona. I think there's an outside chance that they could lose in Seattle, and I think there's an outside chance they could lose to Buffalo. I'll be stunned if they lose to Oakland.
I agree with Andy.
Yeah.
All around.
Trouble is, during this season, one of those outside chances is probably going to come true.
Yeah, they're going 4-0.
I think they could go 4-0. I
do too, but...
You could definitely look at it and say, that, well, they haven't won more than two in a row all year, but this is their easiest four-game stretch of the year also in terms of who they're playing. But
This is true, but this also comes a time where, you know, Castle really wants to shine. He needs to say, you know, like what was... Some comments I remember after the Denver game from Brady, and we should have won that game or whatever, when he had those four picks back in 2001.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, strap it on and, you know, let's go. It's just time to, you know, win these last four games and show what you're made of, you know.
Sure.
So.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Hey,
Stephen from Oregon.
Thanks.
All right. Stephen from Oregon. Seven kids. He's got a lot of Christmas presents to buy.
And not enough money because he's stealing it.
There's no better place to do that than in the Patriots Online Pro Shop.
Free shipping?
Free shipping.
Are you sure?
No, it's $5 flat fee.
I was asking.
I was trying to what the current thing is. $5 flat fee, which isn't bad.
Is that a Cyber Monday, Wednesday special?
It's right now. That's what they're doing.
I did a little research during Steven's phone call. Moss has not had very many good late season games outside in December. In terms of pure numbers, the Giants game would be the best, although it was one play.
Yeah,
it was a 65-yard touchdown.
How many catches did he have?
He had six for 100 with two touchdowns.
I'll take it.
All on one play.
His
six for 100, two touchdowns.
Right, and one of them was a 70-yard touchdown that won the game.
Two touchdowns. 65.
So he had 35 yards on his other five.
Game. Not bad.
I guess.
Not good.
9 for 93. The longest was 19, so there were a bunch of shorter passes and a touchdown. But that was in a losing effort at Chicago in 03. Just doesn't really have a lot of options.
He also had a big drop in that Giants game to play before the bomb for a touchdown, if we recall.
That's true.
So he hasn't played well outside.
His drops are a dime a dozen these days.
In cold weather.
Oh, I think he's pretty good. Stephen Ames. Stephen Ames says, screw these callers and emailers who think they get to make trades and choose our draft picks next year. They don't and don't know poo about it. They should go play their fantasy football. We need real fans who do what fans do and cheer for our team. It's the start of the fourth quarter of the season, and we can win our last four games. This will result in an 11-5 record. Technically, you could say we need help, but really, has an 11-5 team ever not made the playoffs? You could also say we haven't beat anyone good, but we haven't had many chances. Are the Jets and Broncos no good? What good team is Tennessee or Pittsburgh beaten then? A lot can happen before the playoffs start, too. Come on, let's cheer for our team when they really need us to, and not only after they make the playoffs. Hear, hear. Because everybody will be cheering then.
The fact of the matter remains that they could go 11-5 and not make the playoffs.
Right, they
that's
can.
That's a fact.
They can.
They need help.
Yeah.
They need help. So I don't really think that that's, being overly pessimistic. I mean, they need help.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that. When Castle answered me and said, five losses isn't going to knock us out of the playoffs, it could.
Pittsburgh, by the way, has beaten Baltimore, Washington, and New England. I know that San Diego is 4-8, but that's the team that the Patriots keep saying, well, they're 4-8, but they're a good team. They also beat them. Who's the other team? Tennessee. We're trying to see who they beat.
They had an easy schedule. They beat Indy.
And then they had a pretty good schedule. That's why I predicted them to be undefeated midseason, as was accurate.
Tennessee beat Minnesota, Baltimore, Indianapolis, Green Bay, Chicago, and the they lost to the Jets. Okay. So,
Hey, that's not an easy
game to play.
Yeah, the league is...
Unless you beat the Giants, you didn't beat anybody good. There's not that many teams.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on when you played them, too, and,
Right, but the point is there's not
I think
of
Minnesota's playing better now than when they played them before, so...
There's no consistent good teams outside of the Giants and Tennessee and, a couple teams.
You're right.
No, and the Patriots haven't beaten any of those.
Right.
Everybody else has one or two. The Patriots have really none. The best team that they beat is 7-5. The Jets are 8-4. They split with the Jets.
Matt from Oregon, my wife and I are going to make it to Seattle this weekend, so could you have Dan forward the fan club stuff to me? Dan.
F Corpum.
Are you guys going to be out and about at all? We're driving up on Saturday and plan to see what kind of nightlife Seattle has to offer Saturday night. We'd love to get together for a beer or nine if you guys are up to it. Also,
they'll make fun of you.
Also, I've heard that Seattle fans can be a bit wild. Should my wife and I avoid wearing our Pats gear out to the stadium? They might throw Starbucks coffee on you.
But I don't think they have a reputation of being like...
No, they're not unruly.
No, they're loud. Yeah.
They're loud.
They're loud and support their own team.
Seattle...
It's not Oakland where they throw batteries
at the university there is where the wave was started, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but did you see Mike Leach flew up there to visit?
I did see that. I didn't check the itinerary really closely. Where was the hotel?
No idea.
I'm assuming not in Seattle.
I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't look at it either. I was just bitching and moaning about the 6.5-hour flight or whatever.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I'm a baby.
If it were my buddies and me, I'd say the hell with it and wear it. But with my wife there, it kind of changes things a bit. What do you guys think? No, I think they're very loud and supportive, but they're not unruly or rude.
Well, that's what I heard. I've never been there. So.
Yeah. Wear it and be like Plexico.
Come on. You're a you're a mixed martial arts fighter. You don't have to worry about that. You just beat up anyone that says anything to you. I also have a quick football question that I've been intending to ask for a long time.
I better answer
I've noticed that in third and long situations, the Pats often run like a draw or a delay right up the middle. They even did this at one point during the Miami game when it was third and 12 or something. Why do they do this? Are they just conceding that they're not going to get the first down and just wasting a play? That doesn't seem likely, but it also doesn't seem that likely that they're going to get the long yards they need in that situation with that kind of play. You guys are obviously way more football intelligent than me. What do you think? Oh, and I'm with you, Fred. I'll be optimistic about the Pats making it to the playoffs until they either make it or they don't. the third down draws to Falk. Usually,
I think deep in their own end, it is kind of a, we probably don't think we're going to get the first down here, but we're going to avoid a negative play.
Right.
But I also would say I think we run too many of those.
But I would also say it works more a lot of times. That surprises me, because I think anyone that watches them or scouts them, you know it's coming.
Well, the good example Clockwork. Of that was
hasn't
in Miami. That
hasn't worked as much this year.
No. 22 yards out, they ran it, and Falk scored a touchdown off of it. I mean,
that's first down.
They've had good, you know, yardage on that play.
But there's a difference between third and 12 and first and 10.
No, but I think when you're playing an empty backfield and you spread guys out, depending on the patterns, you know the middle of the field is going to be wide open. If you can get past that line, it's big yardage.
Well, if it's empty, who are you handing the draw to?
I decided to let that
well,
one go.
You know what I mean. Falk is back there, whatever. You spread him out four wide.
But the question was about third and longs.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
It is kind of – I mean, as a defensive player on third and long, you're thinking pass first
well,
and at the
you know
flat,
who, you know who
draw.
Else used to run that a lot, that draw play on third down?
Ernie Zampezi.
No, Parcells. He would run it all the time.
It drove me crazy then,
with
too.
With Meggett and, you know.
And it never got the first down.
So my guess is Chuck Fairbanks ran it, too, a lot. I'll just follow the history here.
All right. On the line right now is John in Rhode Island. John, how you doing?
From his mother's basement.
That's right. So you have Warren Moon on today.
Believe it or not. How about that?
What are you guys going to talk about?
He's a Hall of Famer, you know.
We'll talk about his. Yeah. We'll talk about his Hall of Fame inclusion like Paul's.
All right.
You got into the
enough.
BU Hall of Fame?
That's enough.
Paul, congratulations, by the way. Much belated.
Thank you, John.
I think it's outstanding.
I also want to thank Fred for pointing it out to the entire organization.
Paul, this is once in a lifetime. You should be proud of this.
Absolutely. I mean, not everybody gets a chance to be in a Hall of Fame.
That's
you can
right.
be a Hall of Famer in your own mind, but to be a Hall of Famer in reality, that's different.
I appreciate the well wishes.
They were going to put me in the Emerson Hall of Fame, but they didn't have one for just getting by.
They didn't have a single act big enough for you.
You know, Fred, I'll have to see if I can do something about that.
Yeah, you teach there. Maybe you
yes,
could get me into a Hall of Fame, any Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter which
the wrestling team.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'd get in that one either.
Did you wrestle at Emerson?
I did for Jim Peckham.
Wow. What was your weight class?
165, believe it or not.
You wouldn't be that right now, would you?
Oh, no. Who's this agent? Ben?
Can you picture Fred in a singlet right now?
Can you say
it'd be more like a triplet.
Hey, line of the day.
All right. All right. Well, John, you have a good show with Warren Moon. Say hello to him for us.
Absolutely.
We will see everybody else on Thursday. Stay tuned for John.
See you, John.